Hello, and welcome to the Laughing Place podcast. I'm Chelsea, and across from me, we have Dan O'Connor.
Hello.
To my left is Sterling Knight.
Oh, the voice of Winnie the Pooh.
Sure, yeah. To my right is Brandon Michael Smith.
Anyone with three names is always cute. Like David Ogden Stiers.
Okay, sure.
He's hot.
And then, surprise, surprise, to my immediate right is the mystery guest.
Do I disguise my voice like
oh,
the
no,
people on What's
fine.
My Line who come in and say things like, Hello, I am happy to be here with you.
That was Peter Lorre.
And just for those of you who have no idea those
Hugh
references.
Laurie. He's pretty good at voices.
Do you
could
know,
Hugh Hefner.
Fanboy, those references?
Those are the stars of Star Trek, a new DCOM
yep.
on DC.
Coming soon. Ooh. Right now you can enjoy Sterling Knight's music video. It's actually rather nice. I enjoyed it.
Winnie the Pooh.
So is this does this take place before Kit or after?
Oh, very funny. No.
Not.
Michael Knight. Okay, gotcha. Took me a moment. So yeah, it's gonna be coming
February 14th.
That's right, Valentine's Day, and the music video Starstruck, the title song, just was released on the Disney Channel on Radio Disney, and you can hear it virtually nonstop now.
Disney.com,
mm-hmm.
Disney XD.
And if you go to the Starstruck website, you can become part of a tabloid cover with Sterling Knight's character, Christopher Wilde.
Oh, yeah, he was in Country Bear. He played the mean boss guy.
There you go.
he wrote all those books. And, was on
and
the
they
of
call
of
him
websites.
A geek.
Let's get started. January 22nd edition of the Laughing Place podcast, edition number 138.
138?
Or for you Roman numeral fans out there, that would be... C X X X I I X or something else.
Nice try.
I'm Doobie Mosley. Rebecca Mosley.
Hi.
Boy.
I don't think it works like that.
You're Doobie Mosley and Rebecca Mosley.
Said, or something else.
I think it'd be C.
Ay, ay, ay. Okay.
C-
so
X V.
We can move along. Really, really.
Okay. Fanboy was being stupid. Captain John.
Ahoy, I'm not being stupid
That's
at the moment.
Calling card.
And hanging with the LPP for the second time in his illustrious life is the one, the only, Douglas Some Initial Marsh.
Hello. Was that brief enough?
Brevity.
Brevity.
Please don't ever talk about briefs again.
But before I do anything else, I'd just like to give a shout out to the Diz Kid. And I just want to say, what are you listening to the podcast for when you should be doing your homework?
This is home study. This is work.
That's not a shout-out. That's like a call.
He's a good boy. He's a fine young man.
Oh, like happy.
Oh, that's awesome.
Happy's not a man.
And later...
He's a good boy. He's a very good boy.
And next year we'll find out whether or not Diz Kid has that magic premonition. Can he... predict the future, because, you know, he gave us some predictions last time. So.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Your kid might be psychic.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Or psychotic.
Before
you mean like Tonto? Not sidekick. Psychic.
See?
Now that was a reference from the Comedy Warehouse. Thank you very much.
Oh, wow.
Good night.
Yes. I'm here on Thursday.
Thanks for hanging.
Where's your door for your sound effect of a door closing?
Yeah, sorry.
Post-graduate. Podcast. There's a joke. Podcast at laughingplace.com. 866-718-9408.
I gave up on the soundboard years ago.
I didn't hear that phone number.
866-718-9408. It's toll-free. You can leave a message at our grasshopper.com. Why am I saying that? They're not paying us. I'm paying them. You can leave a message at our voicemail box, or you can post a message on the discussion boards. People that are paying us, though, are Howard Johnson of Anaheim.com, one of our premier sponsors for the LPP podcast. Closer to the Disneyland front gate than the Disneyland Hotel itself, it's where all the out-of-towners stay, and even the locals when they want to
All of the out-of-towners.
All of them. Which is why they're doing
very
so
well.
The rest of the Anaheim
Good
Resort.
Good luck getting a reservation.
The rest of the Anaheim Resort, dead. Hojo Anaheim, doing fabulous.
The place to be.
They all stay there. And we'd also like to thank MouseyourVacation.com for their beautiful sponsorship of the LPP podcast. Concierge service, no extra charge. If you're going to go to Disneyland, Disney World, Tokyo Disneyland, Hong Kong Disneyland, Disneyland Paris, Adventures by Disney, Hawaii's new resort.
You probably won't find a Howard Johnson's in Anaheim there.
You probably won't, but you can get there by booking your stay with MouseyourVacations.com.
Those new Adventures by Disney, the new those new Gateway collection.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
There we go.
So, MonkeyVacation.com, HoJoannaHeim.com. Thank you so much for sponsoring our Laughing Place podcast.
This podcast sounded like it was on fire. Crackle, crackle, crackle.
No, that's my sound effect.
Don't hold candy wrappers in your hand.
And with that, let's get started. And unlike most weeks, we're going to start this week's show with something interesting. And that would be a voicemail from our good friend, Magic0214. And if that means your birthday, then it's almost your birthday. And if that means something else,
it is.
Never mind.
You know what I'm going to give him for his birthday?
Okay.
A new DCOM. Starstruck, starring Sterling Holloway.
Michael Knight.
And Hugh Laurie.
And David Augustine.
Right.
And the guy with three names.
Hey, LPP, this is Magic0214 here, and this is like my fifth time calling because I seem to keep coughing after I start. So anyways, let's try to get this done. It's probably going to be a two-part one because I have a lot to talk about. D23 events were just announced. They sound pretty cool. The first anniversary shindig at Walt Disney World sounds really good for just a small, like, five-hour event that night. All the other ones sound cool, too. I like that they have added them all to 2 days, but it's also, like, I think a law now that all D23 events at Walt Disney World have to be 2 days or they can't be allowed to go on with it. Award shows. Golden Globes just happened. Critics' Choice Awards just happened. Next Saturday is the SAG Awards, which is good because Betty White's getting the Lifetime Achievement Award. Go, Betty White. So far, Up has done pretty well. It's won both times Best Animated Feature, and I didn't know it was nominated, but Best Score both times for Michael Giacchino, which is great. I like the score for that movie, so I think it really deserved it. Other things, Sandra Bullock was nominated for The Proposal, didn't win, but she's won both times for The Blind Side, which is good because she really deserved that role. That was a great movie. Meryl Streep won for Julie and Julia both times. I think it's just a good award season because Best Picture's gone to two different people so far, Avatar at the Golden Globes and for the Critics' Choice Awards, The Hurt Locker. Also, it was the first lady to win Best Director, Kathryn Bigelow, who was James Cameron's ex. Big drama at the Critics' Choice Awards. Also, Meryl Streep and Sandra Bullock started making out. That was interesting. Look it up on YouTube. Okay. So I'm going to talk about the next two things in the next one. So I'll be the same for now.
Yay.
He said, so far, a great award season.
Mm-hmm.
That's an oxymoron for you.
Oh, stop. It's been very interesting, although I've been surprised to see Giacchino's score.
Cappuccino, I believe is how you pronounce it.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Michael Cappuccino.
I mean, it's been at each of the award shows so far that I've, you know, been typing up. It's nice to write, you know, up, best score, up, best animated feature.
Marshall, I like Michael Giacchino very much.
I wanted to ask you, you're one of the few people at this table, perhaps even the only one that's talked to him on multiple occasions.
That has met. Here's a trivia question for you guys. What was the first premiere that he came over and chatted into the Laughing Place, Mike?
Oh. Hmm.
He did the score for Sky High, of all things.
Oh, that's...
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and, in fact, right
now.
After I saw him win the award, I looked it up on the archives. You can look things up on the archives. And there he was. And he is a very nice person, and we just really enjoy talking to him.
He's always very pleasant and comes over to you guys, as I recall you mentioning.
Absolutely.
Trust me. And
those kids from High School Musical.
Hey, Monique is a doll.
Monique is a doll.
The nice thing about Michael is it's even though we butcher his name each and every time we mention it.
Yes.
We get it right each and every time we mention it, don't we?
No.
Giacchino.
It's not Cappuccino.
No.
It's not
okay.
Stephanopoulos.
But it is Giacchino, right?
It's not. Stephanopoulos.
How many times have we had this conversation?
Exactly.
Yeah. I always say Giacchino and he comes right over. Yep. So what can I say?
Question for you, fanboy.
That's the first time I've heard that one, unless you said it the last time you were on this show, and therefore this is the second time I've said that, hearing you say that.
Question for you, fanboy. Do you think Betty White will stay around for her introduction or just run up on stage when she's ready?
It's already happened, right? Because I've...
Oh, okay. Good point. Did she?
I don't know. I didn't want...
At the Legends Award.
It was for the SAG Awards, right?
No, it was Legend Award.
Betty White
was at the SAG Awards.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know about
that's
that.
That's occurred already?
I thought that was Saturday. No, that's Saturday.
But I just got to make sure because she'll be on TBS, right? Because they broadcast simulcast on TBS and TNT.
Is it truly simulcast, or they flip back and forth?
I think the drama awards are on TNT and the comedies are on TBS.
When they do, like, best character, do they flip over to USA for a segment?
You guys are insane. You get, so what is
that's
this event?
That's owned by NBC Universal.
I know is the Critics' Choice were on VH1, and it was a dreadful award show.
Douglas, around here, that's Video Hits One.
Don't mock me.
Do they play music videos? Or
They should have done anything other than that award show.
Well, I'm just thinking, the Golden Globes, I mean, is there any organization that has more prestige than the Hollywood Foreign Press Association?
I don't know. But another thing I was very excited about, Up, was there were only, I think, two other films that won two Golden Globes. No one won more than two Golden Globes.
No, it's always going to have two.
Up won two Golden Globes, so that's a good sign.
Yes. The D23 event that Magic referenced, it's going to be Friday, March 5th. And it sounds like a lot of fun to me, a private dinner at the Diamond Horseshoe, and then you go see, you know, PhilharMagic with a bunch of other geeky people. And then after
feet!
That... exactly.
Street!
Oh, you know what? Okay, number one, if everybody in that theater doesn't yell out, feet... if it's appropriate. I don't even remember the sequence anymore. Does she sing that part?
No.
I don't think so.
One more.
If everybody doesn't freak out with the more. And then if everybody doesn't look left and look right, I will be... That's the one I'm really waiting for. If everybody doesn't look left and look right, I will be very, very disappointed. And if everybody doesn't immediately turn to see Donald Duck in the back of the room, that's another... I'll be disappointed because everybody should look.
There'll be that, you know... other fan club member who goes, oh, I never knew Donald was in this track. I don't ever get past that garden area in front of the castle.
You're talking about the Diamond Horseshoe?
After that, we're going to PhilharMagic.
Oh, okay, PhilharMagic. So, I just hope they can clear the entertainment schedule of the Diamond Horseshoe for this event.
It's very, very, very packed over there.
Yes.
And then after that, they're going to have an Imagineer come and talk about the Fantasyland expansion, and that sounds
like
a lot of fun. Which one?
Which expansion or which person?
Which Imagineer?
Oh, they don't. They just say from an Imagineer.
Do they say he or she in the next sentence?
No, they don't.
I believe his last name is Butts.
It could be
his name is Seymour.
It could be Chippy Sweep number four.
Chippy Sweep number four.
And then it's also going to feature a dessert party, a special commemorative pin, and other surprises, which to me means some characters and other fun things, but also character.
All for the low price of?
There wasn't a price listed.
This is a free D23 member event?
No.
Oh.
Is it the first anniversary event?
Yes.
Okay. I guess it's the one at the studio is free.
The film screen, the 50 and Fabulous.
Right. And I'm sorry, and I'm thinking of the Archives 40th Anniversary Tour.
Right.
But these events, and there's one on the East Coast.
And then they're
going to
have
one.
They're going to have an event party on the West Coast March 10th, so 5 days later.
Yay.
And this is going to be held at in front of Sleeping Beauty Castle.
Oh, Disneyland. That's a good place to do it.
And then you'll get to enjoy some of the Fantasyland ride attractions. And then you'll have a chance to see some of the classic Disney pieces of Disneyland as they put it up close and personal, including Walt's car and Cinderella's crystal coach.
And
they're once again going to have desserts.
The bathroom up tomorrow.
But they don't have the fun new Fantasyland to hype there. So,
no. You know,
so they don't mention any Imagineers coming or anything like that. So it sounds more like my suspicion is that it will be more a celebration, as that is what the merchandise line and everything, the focus
it's
right now there is.
The same day as the shareholder meeting.
March 10th?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
I would say so.
Funny, huh?
Where is the shareholder meeting being held?
In
the stars are night.
Yeah.
Stars at night. Sterling night is big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas.
So, Fanboy, will this
San
be the first D23 event you
missed? Stars are nice.
No, because the shareholder meeting's in the morning, and this is at night.
You're not serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
He's going to try, I'll bet you. But, you know, these are always very difficult. You got to call and do that whole nine yards, so, you know, we'll see.
Where's that phrase come from?
The whole nine yards.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Why is it called a fanny pack?
The
why did USC beat UCLA in basketball?
I know what where the phrase to get down to brass tacks came from, but not the whole nine.
I got it. The Golden Globe of Steel.
Okay.
We'll get there later.
I'm enjoying this concept that they have of the screening series, and I'm hoping that eventually they'll find a venue here for such a thing. I mean,
if only we had a movie theater here at Disney World.
Okay, first of all, they do have that movie theater, but it's not really theirs. It's the AMC on the Downtown Disney property. So I can understand where maybe there could be some whatnot, you know, complications or whatever. But I don't know. That DVC, the Saratoga Springs, couldn't they show it there a few nights? I mean, it's not stellar.
They still have the auditorium,
stellar.
Right?
Yeah, it's not a stellar multiplex theater. But it's better than my home theater.
Well, you know what I'm thinking? If only there was, like, a theater at Disney's Hollywood Studios that had some relationship and connection to D23. like, I don't know what, maybe at the back of the park by Pixar's place.
Oh, the
One Man's Dream presented by D23, maybe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you mean that theater at the end that used to have, well, that used to have Michael Eisner coming out of the shadows?
Yeah.
Okay, now you confuse me because you said at the back of the park, but it's actually right at the entrance to the animation tour, but it's just you have to go all the way down to the end, and then it's at the end of that walkthrough attraction. Is that what you're talking about?
It's actually between
where Voyage of the Little Mermaid used to be.
Exactly, that's where it is.
No, it's still there. Little Mermaid is
still
there.
Oh, well, now see that. Oh, well, okay. I was going to say, Voyage of the Little Mermaid actually was a very nice screening theater until they filled it with all of those, you know, fish and stuff.
But yeah, I'm
and that was where they used to show
I hear that's where they grow the fish for the Brown Derby.
So I would. So I guess this is my once again my plea.
And the soundstage restaurant.
With technology and all that's available now, that they would bring that excitement out here because they have enough people who would want to go see Toby Tyler or 10 Weeks with a Circus on a big screen with other Disney fans. Or like
you
the El Capitan's about to have Dumbo.
Has it really been 50 years since Toby Tyler opened?
Apparently.
Hey, Dumbo, you know.
Okay, what else is 50 and fabulous?
You?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm past there.
Is Toby get a banana split this year?
No, but you know that Dumbo was actually the first VHS.
Thank you.
But, okay. I will say this for Toby Tyler. We know the real reason Walt wanted to do that film.
Yes, we do.
Because he wanted a circus at Disneyland, and they wouldn't
buy
him.
This is sure going to be our circus-themed episode,
right,
isn't it?
They wouldn't wouldn't buy him a circus tent or the circus wagon, so he had to buy them all for Toby Tyler. And where did that circus tent end up?
Oh, where did it end up?
Griffith Park.
In Holiday Land.
Oh. Ooh.
Yes,
oh, really?
Holiday Land, the world's largest candy
stripe circus
tent. Oh, I
keep getting that confused with Melody Land.
That's right.
With the picnic without beer.
The picnic ground with all the beer you could drink. That's
oh, really?
Right.
Oh, that's
yes.
I had no idea, because I know that the what's the thing called that we see every July 4th? Thank you.
Is here.
Is here at Walt Disney World. They trot it out every so often so that we can all see it.
The circus continues. Any other D23 events of note that were announced?
Those are the screenings and then the archive tour. You know, I mean, archive tours they've done before, so they're just having more.
What about the people in Mississippi? What are they going to be able to do this year?
Yeah, there's still a lack of activities announced for other than the coastal communities.
Well, to run it down, on May 8th, they'll have another 15 Fabulous with Pollyanna, 29th through 30th, Flowers and Fireworks at Epcot, I would presume. June 26th, the Archives event at the studio lot. July 10th, 15 Fabulous for Swiss Family Robinson. October 15th through 16th, Sip and Stroll at Epcot.
October
23rd,
15
Fabulous for Zorro.
Is that in the parking lot?
That'd be awesome.
That would be so cool.
As a special added D23 bonus, you get to experience the original back lot where Zorro was filmed as you park your car.
I was going to say, I experience that every time I go up to the lot.
December 11th and 12th, Magic and Merriment. And they also said that there will be additional events announced in the future. We talked to the D23 people when they put this out, and they mentioned that there are more events, including events that people have been asking for. They're just not ready to announce.
Including an expo.
If you live...
Yes, there will be an expo.
If you live in Baltimore, Chicago, Vegas, New York, or D.C., and you're a sports fan, then being a D23 member gets you ESPN Zone rewards.
Really?
Yeah. You present your card prior to ordering, and you can get a burger, non-alcoholic beverage, and a $15 game card for $20.
Does that apply to ESPN Club here at Walt Disney World?
It's the zones.
So it does in California?
Yes. Anaheim would,
but not LA Live.
Can someone tell me the exact difference between ESPN Zone and ESPN Club?
Yes, ESPN Zone is run by Disney Regional Entertainment. ESPN Club is run by Walt Disney World.
And there you have
Thank
it.
You.
Once again, showing why you are fanboy and we are not.
There is.
Thank you.
And you will never see a Cable Ace Award at an ESPN Zone.
So, okay. Well, there's D23. There's award shows. In other news, though, I think the big news of the week was they announced the name of the Hawaii resort.
Yeah, Naveen.
And that name is Naveen. Coincidentally, he is in Lost.
Is it?
Wait a minute. Weren't the Na'vi in that other movie with all the giant blue dudes running around?
No, you're thinking of Naveen.
You're thinking of Smurfs.
Navi.
What is the name of the original?
Hey, have you heard
Navi, that annoying little sprite.
I have not heard it pronounced. It is A-U-L-A-N-I.
So is it Aulani or is it Aulani? Do you know?
Joe Rody.
I've not heard it either.
I don't know. I do like how they announced it, though, with a very informal how do you do from the head of the Vacation Club on the official parks blog.
No, not the Vacation Club. The head of the resort.
Oh, the...
Yeah, Michael was in charge of Vacation Club.
Did you see that Michael Jordan has been named the president of the Beachcomber? It's that, coastal restaurant. It's Newport Beach or something.
Does his number still stay retired?
Okay, no. Not tall basketball Michael Jordan.
Not just to go, see, Michael Jordan's been named. And expect me to go,
okay, fine.
Napa Rose.
Why not? We were talking about food. The restaurant. Food.
Michael Jordan eats. I'm sure he has.
He actually has a restaurant.
Yeah. Fine. So there you have it.
But that's
so
pretty
exciting.
Cool.
I'm happy to see.
I'm glad he landed
somewhere
on his feet after Napa Rose, where he chose to leave.
Yeah, I thought he left to start his own wine label.
Well,
now
he probably is.
Then why did he leave in the first place?
He found out there's no money in wine labels.
Did his show at 10 o'clock not do well?
Exactly. he's shoving out that 11:30 guy.
So anyway, anyone have anything to say about Hawaii? Can't even pronounce the name.
It looks sweet, nice. It looks snazzy. It looks like Animal Kingdom Lodge, except bigger and placed in Hawaii. And not as African, because it is in Hawaii.
And I'm very pleased that Joe Rody was brought in to enhance and work on that project.
Do you... It's been a big week for Hawaii for Disney.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about this?
What do I know about
this? Yeah, what's our Pirates update?
I don't actually know anything. What are you referring to?
Pirates 4 is going to film and have post-production work done in the beautiful island state of Hawaii.
Huh,
my boy was even there to meet with the governor.
And who would that be?
Bob Iger. Oh,
okay. Just checking.
I'm going to say you have a boy.
That's interesting.
Happy?
Yeah, that was announced.
Because I heard Australia a while back. So I guess they picked the smaller island.
I think they picked the bigger tax credit.
Yeah.
They can use the studios left over from that Lost thing.
That's what I wondered. I wondered if part of the reason why this ended up happening was because of the Disney-owned ABC's previous working experiences over there.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Kind of helped lay any kind of groundwork for this. But it's thought that the project could bring in $85 million in direct and indirect spending to the state, employ hundreds of locals, and it'll be nice for the island state. Not like it. I mean, to me, it's like ooh, because nobody wants to go there. This movie will make people go. But
hitch one of the ships to the Pirates Resort. I mean, to the Disney Resort.
Oh, that'd
be awesome.
Rebecca, question.
Yes.
Island Resort of Hawaii, is that like Video Hits One and Ross Dressed for Less now?
Island Resort.
Island State of Hawaii.
Island State. I just like say Island
the comedic
State.
Comedic Stylings.
Island State of Hawaii. Did you know
Hawaii,
that it's not the only Pirates
there.
Film to film there? Did you know what other Pirates film filmed on Maui and Molokai?
Cutthroat Island.
No, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh.
Nice try, though.
Probably.
But which one?
The one at Disney Quest?
Black Pearl.
Wrong.
Dead Man's Chest.
Wrong.
At World's End.
Very good. Ding, ding, ding.
Never ends. Pirates of the Caribbean never ends.
I'm never fail to be astonished.
Oh, so have you visited in other movie news, have you visited Ain't It Cool News recently?
No, I have not seen it, but lately.
Yeah. What's Harry turning into now? A light cycle?
Well, he had the early teaser that Tim Burton is going to visit the fairy tale of Sleeping Beauty and bring to life an alternate interpretation entitled Maleficent, because Maleficent is a Disney-created name. In the original, it's an unnamed evil
fairy.
Critter. Oh, I see. I like Critter. I have a hard time calling her a fairy. I know she's a fairy, but fine.
It's official. Tim Burton has run out of ideas.
Oh, ouch.
Oh, that's true. He's become the...
It's like Planet of the Apes and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I mean, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is kind of like a... Like, all of these are kind of like weird remakes that aren't really remakes. They're just the same title and general idea.
I think he just likes revisiting things that were very memorable from his childhood. I mean, next will be Tim Burton's The Thing Under My Bed and, stuff like that. So there you go.
Now, given that...
I know how that works.
Now, given that he often casts his girlfriend, Helena Bonham Carter, in these films,
mm-hmm.
can you see her as a Maleficent character.
Yeah.
His girlfriend in his movies?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was she a nightmare?
Excuse me, that was a previous girlfriend.
And that yes. wasn't a, and that wasn't a Tim Burton movie either. Exactly.
Tim Burton, well, okay, touche. But what is that? Tim Burton Nightmare Before Christmas. Forgive me but, for making that mistake.
Henry Selleck.
Henry Selleck was Henry the director, Selleck, but Tim Burton.
It was his story, but the movie itself was Henry Selleck.
Magnum P.I.
And, of course, his girlfriend at that time was?
Lisa Marie Presley.
Yes. No. Actually, he had not yet met Lisa Marie, and he made the movie, and then some people felt like it was, he went out and found a girl who was just like Sally. You know, a kind of a spooky goth ragdoll. But anyway, well, and then...
I can see why it didn't work out.
And no, it didn't work
out. She kept trying to...
Get away.
Yeah.
That was it.
Slip in Tim Burton Deadly
Nightshade. Giving him Deadly Nightshade and get away. So now he's got Helena Bonham Carter, who's busy with the Harry Potter franchise.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's an interesting idea. I think it makes sense to me. I guess when I read it, I wasn't like, oh dear. I mean, it was just kind of like, okay, well, this is the next step.
Yeah.
They just did Alice in Wonderland. Okay, here we go with Maleficent.
Tim Burton has a good track record, so I have faith in it. I just think it's kind of funny that he's been on a kind of roll of
and given
lately.
And given the fashionista blowout, because I know you like that word.
That reminds me, I've got to interrupt this.
Oh, no.
This just in from a Monday email. Danny says, Rebecca, thanks for sticking up for us Disney-nistas out here. The Alice in Wonderland Urban Decay palette is actually quite popular among us. As for the rest of you boys, how dare you diss us?
Thank you.
Just kidding. Well, kind of. I really do enjoy listening to your podcast, so thanks for putting up with me, Danny.
Thank you.
We've been put in our place.
Thank you. But it's amazing.
By a guy into fashion.
D-A-N-I. I believe it's a female.
Yes.
Well, then I don't care.
You know, it's one of those names.
But here's the thing. Even since the last podcast, there's been a few more designers making announcements regarding Alice in Wonderland lines or designs or whatnot.
Seriously?
I mean, yeah, there's been a couple more.
I'm looking forward to the Maleficent line.
So that's what I'm saying. Given that when you used to go to places like that Vault 28 store or
Trendy,
these are the characters you would see. You would see them marketing their Alice in their Cheshire Cats, their Alice in Wonderlands, and their Maleficent. So the fact that those are the two storylines, in essence, that Tim Burton is going to revision, it's really speaking to his community. So
Tim Burton is selling out for the merchandise.
But I think there's a difference. I'm not going pro or con on this, but there's a difference between taking a story like Alice in Wonderland and Tim Burton making his own version of it. There's something else is taking a Disney character like Maleficent and going with it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if he really wants to sell this, I think you need to get John Lasseter on board, who's the official voice of Disney apparently. And
wait.
He's like the Chris Burton.
So whenever they need Walt Disney's voice, they get John Lasseter to do it?
Hello, why? they finally replaced Walter Cronkite as the announcer for the CBS Evening News.
With Morgan. John Lasseter?
But he's been dead for like 6 months. That's just creepy.
Well.
Oh,
hey,
there's
Wagner. Until how recently was he still welcoming us to Orlando
and
over at the airport?
I miss that.
But that same with the evening news. People are just there's certain things that are comforting, that are homing. You come home from work, you turn on the news, and there was that
voice.
Nothing
says comfort like the news.
And every now and then, Jack Wagner's voice still turns up at Disneyland.
Yep.
But so I it'd be interesting to see there's a difference between this isn't obviously Sleeping Beauty 2. It would be a sort of just. Offshoots, which I think makes it okay. If Tim Burton was hired to do the sequel to Sleeping Beauty, I think you'd have more of an uproar.
Oh, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, totally.
Once the time comes, this actually becomes a real thing, I'll have an uproar. Tim Burton does Wicked. I'm not so sure. But we'll see.
It'll be interesting to see if it goes that way. I'm interested to see. I mean, right now, obviously, it's all rumors. Nobody's confirming anything. It's all whispers and...
Although a web name.
URL. I hated Twice Charmed, and this is worse.
Isn't that... And the rumor is partly fueled by Jim Hill's Disney registered domain column that he
that
does.
Yes, in-depth investigative report he does every week by checking out what has Disney registered.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Which may
wish
or may
I thought
not.
Of it.
But no. What'd you say?
I wish I thought of it.
Yeah, well, you know,
exactly.
somebody.
I just read their SEC filings.
20th Century Fox just registered Conan on Fox.com, so. You go figure
what do you
out.
Think that means?
I have the remotest idea.
I can't believe
Arnold Schwarzenegger will be available.
Exactly.
Will be available soon, but still, I don't think he wants to go back to Conan the Barbarian.
The Barbarian franchise.
Yeah, I would have thought Universal would have done that.
I wish. I loved that show.
Mm-hmm. Conan the Barbarian.
Do you remember that with the dragon coming up at the end?
No.
You bet. I remember.
I remember when they got the new dragon, but then they had to do the season without it because it didn't work right.
Yeah.
Are we ready for the next thing? Because I'm excited about our next thing.
Ooh.
Okay.
You think it's what's on the table,
but
it's not.
Wait, what URL did they register?
What, who?
Wasn't it Burton's Maleficent? Tim Burton Maleficent? Something like that.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Our next segment is not on our syllabus, but it's coming. What do you call it, fanboy?
I don't know.
All right. Well, let's hear fanboys. I don't know.
Okay. I'm going to have 5 questions.
Wait. You need an intro. Let's see what I got here.
Is it the rim shot of the week?
I think it just might be. There you go.
I am so glad I waited for that.
Thank you, Max.
I never fail to
all,
disappoint.
All the way out from Anaheim for that.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
And the URL okay. that was okay. part of the rumor is maleficentmovie.com.
Okay.
And where did Tim Burton come into
that? No Burton reference.
And all I have to say.
That's probably why no one picked it up until it was on the. Well,
and all I have to say now is top that, fanboy.
Yeah, exactly. Go for it.
I won't. Don't worry. So the idea is I have 5 questions regarding the week that was in Disney.
Ooh.
Some are hard. Some are easy.
All of them are from fanboy's brain.
And
compass.
So,
Happy would like to play.
I'll ask the questions. You guys can try and answer, and I will let you know if you're right.
But what if we all talk at once?
We
then
go
it'll be like every other part
yes,
of our show.
Exactly.
Okay. The new Hawaiian resort was named Aulani. What
Wait a
does
minute, spell that again for me.
Aulani.
Okay. That's riveting radio.
Okay.
What? What does that mean?
Stories.
No.
Rumors.
No.
One guess, Doug. New rule. One
false,
guess.
False information.
LP radio. No.
And, what was it? I'm trying to remember.
Is it like peaceful rest?
A gathering place.
It means Boma.
What is it? You're lucky.
There's
the place.
3 options. One. The place that speaks for the great ones, or the place that speaks with deep messages, or Jay Rizzullo's vanity project.
I think it's the second one.
Or as I said with great brevity, stories.
Ta-da!
Golden Globes. The Walt Disney Company, ABC, ABC Family, won some awards at the Golden Globes.
Okay.
How many?
9.
Oh, you're way too high.
5.
You can speak.
2.
Just 2? The whole company?
No, 5. I'm going to go with 5.
The answer was 2.
2
really?
For us.
ABC won Zippo.
Oh, that's right.
ABC won Zippo. Yeah, it was.
Wow, that's a
you
shame.
Know, a lot of people who had not won for many years were finally recognized.
Meryl Streep?
Yes,
dear
Meryl.
Because they do TV too, right? What won, like, best TV?
Because, like, Michael Emerson was among the nominated, but he didn't win. And Modern Family was among the nominated, but it didn't win.
Dexter pulled down 2 awards.
Yeah.
Glee
mm-hmm.
beat Modern
Dexter
Family.
Dexter should be winning Cable Ace Awards.
Right.
Well, Disney should have done Glee, too, because if you stop and think about it, the direct
no.
ancestor of Glee is...
They should not have done Glee.
HSM.
They, I would have also accepted Who Cares as Hollywood for Foreign Press Association.
So we're doing great so far.
Dude, can I even type that in to the headlines? It's just very funny.
ESPN2.
Electric Boogaloo.
The Deuce is airing how many hours of the Tennis Australian Open?
Way too many.
Too many because Mike and Mike should be on instead, and I'm going to have to watch them in standard definition.
You know we get ESPN News HD.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, we do.
We do.
Yeah. Well, then I'll
Thank you
stop
us.
Complaining quite so much. yeah, that's who cares.
Any is too much.
40.
I'm going to go with 72.
Doug?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was watching the Golf Channel.
113 live hours, which just proves to show you, tennis is now considered an extreme sport.
Why are they only doing two games?
See, now we're going to get emails from the fashionistas and the tennis fans. Tennisistas.
I'm sorry.
You're the only tennisist.
I'm in the band premiered on Disney XD.
Yes, it did.
What is the name of the band?
The Wonders.
The Weasels.
Rubber.
Rubber band.
As in rubber band.
You know, I'm just going to say it's the Jonas Brothers.
Oh, very good. There you go.
Rebecca was close. It's Iron Weasel.
Iron Weasel. I knew it
happened.
I am Iron Weasel.
Effie Weasel.
Effie Weasel.
Effie Weasel.
Oh, I'm thinking Dream Girls. What's this have to do with Dream Girls?
Effie.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, so we need to make sure that say that, like, in a band logo, F-E, Weasel. Let's see how many people realize
and
that.
And on the back,
F-E
it could say, I am
a weasel.
Yeah.
F-E
and
a perfect.
We can wear it on our Avogadro Day along with our
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah. I wonder, this, we need to
It's in October. Yeah. It's okay. Plenty
no,
time.
It's in June.
Oh.
No, October.
Thank you.
At 6:02 a.m.
Yes.
And p.m. too? Anyway, go on. Next question.
I believe they would just go off 24-hour time because...
I'm guessing you're right about that.
Okay, so there's been a lot of changes at ABC's Good Morning America. Diane Sawyer went to World News with Diane Sawyer, appropriately. Chris Cuomo went to 2020 because he wears glasses. And so...
That is...
Who is the current... Who are the four current hosts or people on Good Morning America?
The Jonas Brothers and Demi Lovato.
George Stephanopoulos.
Stephanopoulos is one.
George. The Muppets.
Robin Roberts.
Yes.
I only know this because I was flipping channels this morning and I saw those two.
Weir?
No, but Weir. He's does GMA Weekend.
Oh, that's why I know him.
Because he can't sing.
Their Lewis correspondent, I believe, is Sarah Palin.
No.
It's Fox.
And
they're about to bring in Conan O'Brien.
Exactly. That is correct.
And then Jay will replace him, making four.
Who are the other two?
Sam Champion and Juju Chang.
Who?
Juju Chang.
Sam Champion and
either
Juju.
Of them by name.
Sam Champion's the weatherman, so you don't really need to.
Oh, okay.
Willard Scott would suffice. And Juju Chang rose into ABC News fame by Juju Juggles, talking about how she juggles her work life with her raising small children.
You really should not be making fun of people's names, though.
She makes fun of it herself.
Her name is Juju Chang?
Sam Champion and Juju Chang. They were the lovable sidekicks.
So thanks for playing.
Yeah,
the winner is obviously Rebecca.
Thank you.
Because you're scared of her. That was a great... maybe you could make them a little easier next time.
Oh, no, those were great.
Those were easy. You just didn't.
No, those were great. Those were great.
You know what was missing from that was Disney.
Yeah. Those are all Disney.
ABC.
This is a Disney podcast. ESPN.
XD.
By the way, those are all Disney.
Next
they
you're
going to
talk
impact...
about Marvel, I suppose.
Yes, because
that'd
those
be awesome.
All impact that 22-cent check, I guess.
throw in some Marvel like backstory questions.
My goal in life is to make Disney fans realize there's more to Disney than Disney.
Yep.
Remember when we used to care about baseball and hockey?
And then
we don't anymore.
So we'll get five questions on Super Snipe.
Sure.
See? Name means nothing to you.
Nope. But Stanley's Time Jumper
does.
Go
home and
look
it up.
Spice Channel.
There you go.
No, they bought NBC, those bright people over there.
All right. Let's get back to
Disney.
Magic
0214
as he continues with voicemail at s:/3.mp3.
It's Magic 0214 again here. I have my next two topics to talk about. The Oceans movie, which is the next in the Disney Nature, for the Disney Nature label, is coming out on Earth Day this year. And there, as you know, last year for Earth, if you went to see it opening week, then they planted a tree in your honor in a rainforest. I don't know which one. But this year, for every ticket bought
they
or
cut
purchased
down the trees.
Opening week, they donate 20 cents to the... to help save the Bahamas coral reefs with a minimum of $100,000 donated, which I think is a good one because, I hope they do this more, I like how every time it's kind of like donations to charity. I think that's a really good idea and promotion, I guess. Although I'm kind of curious what they're going to do for Crimson Wing, which is the one about flamingos. We're going to donate money to give them shrimp. Okay. My last topic is ABC programming. Lots of previews coming out right now. The Deep End premieres this Thursday, or if you get this, yesterday, which looks all right. It's gotten C's most of the time, review-wise. Happy Town, the review has come out. That looks actually really good. I'm really excited for that.
Me too.
Lost, for you Lost fans, comes out February 2nd. What else is coming? V comes back in March. And I'm just, ABC is a good time right now. Only if Millionaire was back, only. Let's hope for this summer again they do it, because that was really fun last year. Well, that's all I have to talk about right now. Hope you guys are having a good New Year so far, and I'll talk to you guys later.
Hope to see you later this month.
AFV, is that still around?
Yep. It's been a good 4 months already of this year. So,
Deep End. Every time I see that, not the commercial, by the way, I finally figured out what he's saying.
Oh, good. I'm glad, because I still haven't.
Not the commercial. I've seen her before, and you're like my sister.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
The end of it, like the title, it looks really cool.
I know, and then you show it.
But you know what it reminds me of? What was that space thing we were watching last season? What was that thing? It was set in space.
Defying gravity.
Has that been canceled?
Yes. Oh, dude.
Do we know what it is?
Did they ever tell us?
That was canceled and beat to death.
Wait. We've got a podcast that reaches four people. If you survive...
Five tonight.
That's true.
No, you're not going to listen.
If you watch Defying Gravity and you found out what it is, please write in just so we can end that chapter of our lives.
Yeah, because I'm not sure I can die until I know.
That's a good way to stay alive.
Yeah, that's second thought. All of a sudden, everyone starts typing furiously. Get rid of him. Anybody at all excited about Oceans?
Yeah. Ocean's 11?
Oh, yeah, definitely. No,
it looks beautiful.
I didn't see the first one, but I like they did another Oceans. Well, the Earth, whatever.
You didn't plant a tree?
I didn't plant a tree.
I've planted trees, but not by going to
America. I've planted trees in the past.
I know this is hard to believe, Marshall, but some people have figured out ways... And I mean Doug Marsh by Marshall. Some people have figured out ways to give charity in ways other than going to see a movie. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, not to diss people who want to see a movie and feel good about it, but...
I just thought, you know, if you're going to be going to all those Disney movies anyway, you might as well get something good out of it.
If I go to see Oceans,
yes.
Do I get a free ticket to a Disney park?
That's like volunteering.
That'd be pathetic.
That would be...
That's so sad.
That's
well, it
really
depends.
Funny,
you know, 20 cents.
Depending on how badly it's doing or attendance is doing, yes.
Remember when DCA first opened and anyone could get in?
Was it true you could walk up to DCA and go, can I go? Please. And they would just let you in. I've heard rumors like
that.
What's the statute of limitations in the state?
Does anyone have any real news? Because all we've got left on my list is segments.
Oh.
Real news.
Nothing happened this
week. The billion-dollar next-generation theme park
deal.
Oh, next-gen, yes.
Yeah, next-gen.
I can't believe what a big deal. I thought this was a huge deal until I read the article on the Sentinel that said, someone said, the last time there was secrecy like this, it was because of Disney's Magical Express. Okay, I'm not quite as excited as I was five paragraphs ago.
Oh, that's funny. It's like, build it up. What is it? Did it say 4.5 billion or?
I think 1.5.
1.5. Okay, 1.5 billion. And then.
Which I just like to point out is more than they spent on building DCA.
which time?
Ouch.
Dude.
Only the first time. Second time, much more.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, you
how much? How much did they pay for Marvel? Four billion?
Yeah. At least that you get a part of a theme park.
So this is a quarter of Marvel.
I mean, I hate to say hyping it, because obviously they're not hyping it, but if they're willing to do interviews and put out some numbers, you know, people don't make this up out of thin air.
No, but if you look at it, the people quoted were former Disney executives.
Okay.
So they're not... there's no comment from Disney itself.
Right. I find it hard to believe an article like this is going to come out without Disney to some extent wanting some stuff to come out. Maybe I'm stupid, but...
No, but I have to agree with you because that same week, Jim Hill ran an article with WDI's creative vice president in charge of interactives, talking about playtesting and the development of new rides and shows and attractions. And I mean, and they may be in different, in totally different segments as far as, you know, this project versus what this gentleman isn't involved with. But to me, the developmental concept, the concept of, hey, we're tweaking things, we're making things different, we're trying out new things. There's some, I'm wondering if it's Disney's way of teasing people. Oh, you better come see the park now because we're getting ready to change things. So you better get here because it could change. But you don't want to necessarily market. I mean, to me, you have to be careful how you market that because you don't want to come across like Domino's Pizza. Well, we've been giving you crappy pizza for 20 years and now we have good pizza. Come try it.
I like that crappy pizza, by the way.
Isn't that what they're doing at GCA?
I like that crappy pizza, too.
Or GCA.
Oh, remember the...
Remember the, Three Bags Full.
Remember the deli. I actually overheard something at the park the other day. They said, is it true you're getting rid of Dumbo? And the cast member was like, no, we're moving it. It's not going anywhere. And like, yeah, we thought it would be weird you'd get rid of Dumbo. And like, yeah.
That's not true. Well, as long as this whole thing has gone off the syllabus,
although I think PETA was protesting Dumbo.
Oh.
Outside the gate.
So I'm excited about this Next Gen. First of all, I like the name Next Gen. That's funny. But I don't know. Usually other stuff, I'm just, you know, in one ear out the other. But when I hear the numbers bandied about and just the little bits of stuff that
power of
floats
a 747
around my life from the very few people that I know who know anything, I wonder if this will actually turn out to be something, and that'd be pretty exciting.
You know what? The article came across to me as, because they kept talking about former people.
Former
I think
people.
It came across as, they're spending $1.4 billion on this stuff, and I lost my job.
Yes, you did.
Now, didn't we hear for a long time all about this, you know, cave technology and all that forever and ever and ever? And you have to imagine...
Thanks for that reminder. You just brought me down to earth.
But I mean, in all honesty, we kept hearing about it and the amazing things that it was going to accomplish. And I don't know how much, you know, money must have gone into that, but you have to imagine some.
No, that's a...
And yet, is it only Storm Rider, in essence, came out of that? Am I right in saying that?
They used it as a development toy. Like when they were planning DCA, they would walk through DCA, essentially.
Avatar is actually made with cave technology.
So I'm just saying...
I think Osama bin Laden's hiding out using cave
technology. I think so.
How does it do it?
We have to decide whether to edit or not.
The Flintstones used a lot of cave technology.
But I guess I'm just... whenever they're talking about Disney development and stuff like that, I want to get very excited, but then on the flip side, I also realize that sometimes that technology may or may not actually be something that I get to experience firsthand. Lucky is another example. Lucky trots out a little bit and then disappears, and you don't see him again for a long time.
Well, Dr. Buns and Honeydew, now theirs, and Beaker, that was
right, and they're born out of that.
Yeah, but they're still around, just not here.
They were very, very cool.
Exactly.
They're in Hong Kong.
No, but you could, as far as excitement, wow, there's Lucky, there's Bunsen, wow, what permanent stuff are they going to do at Walt Disney World?
Wall-E?
That's really going to take that, to take what's already a great technology and make it something awesome. And, you know, so far nothing, which is fine. They know what
Mr.
they're doing.
Mr. Potato Head takes that, well, used to take out
yeah.
But you just don't know how long it's going to... That's the thing. So it's hard to get... It's not that I'm not excited about it. It's just you don't want to get too excited because you have no idea how long you're waiting.
Well, there's also the technology is only going to get you too far. So far, you need an attraction idea that uses the technology.
But they have no shortage of those. One thing we know about Disney, though, is they're never short-term thinking. They could be developing something now for 20, 30 years down the road because they don't care about next week's share price. They care about long-term viability.
That's funny, but it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, they...
It is.
There's a company that doesn't react quickly to anything, and which, if you're a short-term shareholder, is not a good thing.
I don't know if that's always true. There have been a few things that they have turned
over.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Iger era.
I'm thinking Tarzan's Treehouse turned over
in
relatively
the
quickly.
Iger era,
though.
Yeah, well, okay.
No, there's a difference there's a difference between turning something over quickly because it's a good idea and you want to turn it over quickly because the movie's coming out. I mean, Town of Showboat Jubilee was put together quickly. That's fine. But they're not against developing something long-term either. Yeah. I mean, Universal doesn't do this, which is part of their problem. And there's always...
Disney doesn't do a lot of bandwagon jumping either. Do they?
No, but as I recall, when they finally opened,
that's not quite what I mean. If they all of a sudden announced, you know, their Avatar type movie or something like that.
No, I'm with you on that too. And they also, you know, they didn't get it, like, you know, they didn't decide, you know, what we need to get into online and this, that, and the other
right.
thing, beyond.
Yeah, exactly.
But now I'm thinking in terms of, you're talking about, you know, attractions jumping around. When they finally opened Nemo, I recall in some of the conversations I had with John Lasseter, in fact, on the site,
La-dee-da.
He was saying he would like, well, it's your site.
He was saying
that he would really like to see, you know, you see the movie and then you go to the Disney theme parks and you experience the movie. Mm-hmm. But there is a danger in that. And the one time Universal really was ahead of the curve, Waterworld. Remember, the Waterworld attraction opened before the movie.
It's still there.
And, you know, thankfully, I think everyone's forgotten about the movie because it's a very good attraction. But the fact of the matter is you do then run the risk of, you know, what if you end up with an attraction that's attached to something that is not well regarded?
And I think it would be dumb to build an attraction that is a $100 million attraction based off of Rapunzel, because you could end up with a complete flop.
You don't know.
It's just not a smart move.
But
something like Tiana Shobo Jubilee or...
Remember that one time we had this conversation and we wound up thinking of the ride that was built only to get changed? Remember that?
Yeah,
I think that could still work.
You mean a generic ride?
It's like you put it in the animation place, the animation courtyard or whatever, and it would just be pretty much a ride system there that you just swap out.
Maybe
the
it would
theming.
Be Superstar Limo one like, year and then
no Superstar Limo is designed.
In a sense, it would be like an overlay all the time,
like VMK's big empty warehouses. And you put in
exactly,
your set pieces,
exactly.
You ride your little vehicles through.
Yeah,
it's interesting because years ago,
DVMK wanted us to do our podcast.
Disneyland's Main Street USA under the Paul Pressler era, the charge came down. Mm-hmm. He wanted all generic interiors so that the merchandise could be swapped out. And out here in Florida, they pretty much turned Main Street into a mall. In Disneyland, you have all those cranky annual pass holders and Imagineers who basically said, "No, if it's going to be a children's clothing shop, it's going to be nursery themed. If it's going to be a toy store, it's going to be toy themed."
Yeah, but all you end up with is badly themed, because they're going to put whatever merchandise they want in there anyway.
Yes,
they
and no.
They put plush in Main Street Cinema,
but not in Disneyland. That's what I'm saying.
I went to that little baby store on Main Street, and they had adult merchandise. There's nothing. There's no rhyme or reason.
Well, not at Disneyland. Although
at
Disney, the single biggest argument that a lot of people have is that a great deal of generic merchandise went into the various stores.
That's good.
Now, what about the fact that they opened Pirates of the Caribbean years before the movie came out?
Head of the curve.
And that is an example of Walt's genius. That Walt could conceive that some 40 years before the movies came out.
Well, actually, wait, hang on. That's actually an interesting point to bring up, because they jumped on the bandwagon and with the changes to it, in a way. I mean, they saw the first movie was a success, and once the second movie came out, they premiered the overlay and the movie at the same time.
I can see what you're saying. I don't consider jumping on the bandwagon if it's their own bandwagon.
I guess maybe a
better thing than jumping on the bandwagon would be following the trends, jumping on trends,
but
seeing other companies doing something and going, "Hey, they did that really well. We need to do our version of that."
And also, there's an
ego thing, I think, with that, with Disney theme parks. They don't want it. Yeah.
Good. But aside from anything else, they also had what was an incredibly popular, proven winner at the box office. And so
you're taking
a risk on this one.
Cars Land opening with Cars 2 makes sense.
What? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But
Cars
also,
Land makes sense in that aspect. But we knew that, you know.
Remember when they closed Country Bears right before the movie came out?
Well, yes.
They must have seen the film. They also had the issue, though, of people expecting.
Christopher Walken got his way.
Because it was so successful and the Disney Pirates of the Caribbean became such a franchise, people had an expectation of seeing that when they were there. And so, in essence, they were having issues with guest satisfaction.
Which is why I'm amending my theme park bold prediction to say Eddie Murphy will be the new caretaker at Haunted Mansion.
But to get back to the whole idea of the next gen, to me, if the rumors and some of the things that are associated with this concept are some sort of device that a guest will have that will cause a personalized experience throughout your Disney day.
Reedy Creek Fire Department.
Just so, just drop your RTFD in the water while you have the earphones on. You'll have a great.
And but to me, it's just another example of how Disney is capitalizing on the. While Disney company is capitalizing on people's desire to have customizable, unique experience. I mean, it's a Facebook MySpace world. Where you kind of
self-centered world.
MySpace? I'm not going there. I'm just going with the concept of you don't kind of reach out to lots of different places. You edit your world so that all those places are within it.
And then you visit
that each day. And so now they're going to do this Apple Disney store thing where you go in and the mirror's going to interact with you and this kind of thing. And then you're going to have your portal at the when you're in your Disney cruise ship, all of a sudden some little character is going to float by with happy anniversary, Doobie and Rebecca, because they'll know it's your anniversary. And then, it's just going to – I just think Disney – if I can say that I feel that there's any trend, it would be this trend that Disney is moving towards the customizable, unique, personalized
right. And
experience.
It scares me a little bit, but also excites me. I have one question.
I can't wait till they work out getting it where you go to the Enchanted Tiki Room. You could pick to see under new management.
That would be cool.
That'd be cool if you go like on a ride and you have to pick whether you want to go in space, underwater, or on land.
If you're on the cruise and you're in a room where a little starfish can be, happy anniversary, Doobie and Rebecca, are you going to feel the need to close that at night?
People next to us did it.
Okay. Doug, I believe you had something slightly unsyllabic to share.
You mentioned Tiana's Showboat Jubilee, and I just wanted to say my family and I actually were on deck for the last day of the performances, and it was a wonderful experience. It's a wonderful show to watch because, of course, only, 80 guests a day got to be actually in the show. It was a wonderful show to watch. And I did want to mention that I was able to talk to a couple of the people in middle, upper management at Disneyland and said, is there any chance that we're going to see Tiana's Showboat Jubilee stay around in one form or another? As you know, they've drained the rivers of America, so they can continue running the show. And
speaking of which, that whole water system is so in depth, that dark water system, it connects all the way to the Sleeping Beauty Cinderella Castle moat.
All the way to Florida.
Yeah.
I did not know that, sir.
Dry as a bone.
I did not know that. Well, unfortunately.
There's an e-ticket on that, the whole dark water system.
And I understand that if they drain the whole thing, then the people mover system at the Houston airport actually starts to sink.
I think you're right.
The point being that what they said was
point?
They do feel that Tiana's Showboat Jubilee, very popular show, and guests really love it.
Mm-hmm.
There is a charming little stage at the French Market. And there are other places in New Orleans Square. And what they said to me was, if you really would like to see that show continue, please leave guest comments at City Hall. So I'm going to say to all of you out there listening who can get over to Disneyland, if you enjoyed Tiana's Showboat Jubilee, do go and leave a nice guest comment at Disneyland City Hall. Say, we want it back.
But that's a point. Interesting point.
Yes.
That show, from the day it opened, there was talk of keeping it going.
In one way or another,
right.
Yes.
And I mean, here and in California. But the movie didn't do well.
Flop.
I wouldn't say flop, but it didn't do nearly as well as everyone wanted it to have.
Everyone that mattered.
Yeah, it's a flop. Yeah. I mean, it's not a disaster. It's not.
No, that's the Universal.
World. Yeah. But
which features Christopher Walken, who destroyed the Country Hall.
I think I know where you're going, and I will say this. I believe that it is a movie whose viability within theme parks transcends its actual success. And a case in point would be something like Swiss Family Robinson, which was, okay, it was a fun movie. It was very well done. But the attraction itself, I think, is far more popular than the movie.
Well, but the people that need to make the decision about whether they're going to keep it it's not like Swiss Family Treehouse. It was not built when Walt was here. It's not. We're a different world. Will they be nuanced enough to make the decision to keep the show despite the fact that the movie is not considered successful?
I think since it's an entertainment as opposed to an attraction, I think that they would probably keep it as long as it's pleasing guests And as long as they can continue to run it, you know, there's a certain expense involved because it has a fairly large cast. Although, if, for example, if they were to move it to the French Market in New Orleans Square, which is a very logical home for Princess and the Frog, it would have to be a reimagined production.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's difficult to produce guests out of
people
hidden
moving.
Places in it. It is difficult.
Well, they would probably cut that idea.
To produce characters like Dr. Fossilier. And so on. But some sort of a version of it is what they're talking about. There. And as I say, whether or not you like it, then don't go to City Hall.
I do like it. I love the show, and I like the movie. I might even say I like the show more than I like the movie. But, you know, as they're going to keep making Disney movies, and they're going to keep – and Pixar movies, and they're going to keep trying to create shows to promote them, which would hope – you know, I mean, Rapunzel, we would hope they would do something for. Is there a point where you just go, okay, this one, not a winner. We'll do something different.
Of course. Of course. However, the show is good. The show is really good. And especially at Disneyland, New Orleans Square, it's such a natural fit that I can at least conceive of them making the decision. Yep, this belongs here.
And in New Orleans Square's, you know, defense, there's not exactly, you know, Haunted Mansion, Pirates, you have your two rides when it comes to, you know, just
and
stores.
The Disneyland
and
Railroad.
If you need to finance it, get rid of the mime.
The Disneyland Railroad. You know, I think, you know, might as well, you know.
They send him off into space.
Might as well have an extra attraction for that area.
Yeah.
Why not?
And New Orleans Square is, I mean, entertainment's a big part of New Orleans Square.
They heavily overlaid Pirates there, and that ran its course, and it's done. And so, you know, but as I say.
But I would say that it is easy to say at this point that it has run its course and it is done.
Yeah.
Because you got the amount they're going to have to spend just as much money to reimagine the show as it probably would take to milk a whole new show.
I would disagree because they already have the costumes, they have most of the music tracks, and the place is already set up for a show.
Yeah, but
as I, you know, as I said, too, in terms, you know, they always have to balance everything, you know, in terms of the casting, in terms of keeping
And I do hope they keep the show. It was a good show.
Yeah, it would probably be cheaper to run too under this, so could be financially beneficial that
way. What about the Royal Street?
Cheaper than a rat. Yeah. All right, it's time for our new segment to make its return this week, and I'm in charge of our rocket ride round this week, which means I get to set the rules. Doug, if you're not familiar, we ask the questions, we discuss. Somewhat politely, and then we move on. I am giving each question a maximum of 45 seconds. I've got a clock here. When that 45 seconds is up, I'm asking the next question. So let's keep it brief.
Does it go one at a time and in what order, or just everybody?
We can start with you, but...
Oh, please don't.
We can start with Captain.
Oh, please don't.
But,
You're right.
But, you know...
Or will you just point?
No. Okay, fine. I'll point.
Oh, thank
you. I'll point to who goes first, but then... You know, be brief and let someone else jump in there. We tend to be kind to each other. Yeah. 45 seconds and I'm moving on.
Okay. But we each comment on the question.
Yes, everyone comments on the question,
we
including
have
myself.
To?
You don't have to, no.
Okay. Nope.
Ta-da.
No law.
You can cede your time to the great state.
We're taking too much time here. Let's go.
When I say Doug Live, you say?
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. That's what I think.
Wow.
Patty Manny's.
Doug Marshall's here today. Thank goodness Doug's alive.
A show I never saw.
Are you sure Doug's alive?
I never saw Doug Live. For some reason, people kept giving me the pins and the toys and things from it, which was very sweet, but I never saw the show
because
it's at the wrong park.
From Hista 98.
You love Tyler's too.
Hista 98.
From Hista 98. Next question. You can bring back one attraction for a day. Which is it?
Mine Train Through Nature's Wonderland.
Why?
Because that was the one attraction that I regret I did not go to on the single day I visited Disneyland in 1972.
Awesome answer.
Adventures Through Inner Space.
America Sings.
America Sang.
America Sang. I have no idea.
Why Adventure Through Inner Space, fanboy?
You don't want
to
know. Yeah, no. That was the comedy portion of the evening.
Fanboy. I saw it.
Did you ride alone?
Well, no, with Captain. My parents. Well, I was
the people mover.
That's
the
my
people
answer.
Mover.
That's my
people
answer.
Mover?
The people
yeah.
mover.
People mover.
Tell the truth.
Does Fantasy Waters count? I'm just kidding.
Yes. Tell the truth. Where is your laughing place, Rebecca?
I can't think of anything but the website because that's why we named it Laughing Place. So there you have it. I guess it would be Rod's table, the Cook Corner table, so it's not, it doesn't exist anymore, because I have laughed more there than anywhere else on the planet.
Any place but this table.
Pretty much.
I agree with that location. New Doug?
Succeeding in cracking up Hillary, my daughter, so much that it in turn cracks me up, and that is absolutely my laughing place.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
That was a movie moment.
Yes, it was. I think we should move it to Pittsburgh.
Okay, go ahead.
At the AMC theaters with a buffer chair between me and Doobie.
Well, we tend to do the stadium seating, so it's a little more informal.
That's the way guys watch the movies.
Yeah.
With a fresh pizza?
With a fresh pizza, a large soda.
Coke Zero.
Coke Zero, and get there in time to watch First Look.
Wow.
Wow. You got that right.
It's so true.
Yeah, it is.
I went home after we watched the first episode of 24, and I was like, that was a fun time.
We do have good times.
Okay, 45 seconds up.
From Winged Nike, was Ursula an old flame of King Triton?
Yes.
What?
Oh, I'm totally with that.
Was Ursula an old flame of King Triton? And in fact, Ariel's mother. Actually, I'm throwing that part in.
Oh, no. See, I wouldn't get that.
No.
But I like the whole old flame.
Can you really have a flame in the water?
That's a totally different question.
You can't do foil in the microwave.
Old flame, possibly, but there's definitely a backstory.
No, that's not the craziest thing I've ever heard. There's no relationship there. No,
you don't have the sense that there's a woman scorn there.
Yeah, she's,
but not by him. No,
it's possible she has a very definite animus toward.
Yeah.
I hear she's really into seahorses.
Okay. I'm not sure what to say. Not really sure. Where to go with that? An octopus lady, seahorse. Okay. Sure, fine.
Okay.
Now let me find the next one.
Next one.
All right, this is a word problem.
How's that a quick question?
If an ABC sitcom goes in production in New York with a $3 million budget, with 4 stars from People and a B+ from Entertainment Weekly, and another ABC sitcom goes into production in L.A. with a $2 million budget and 3.5 stars from People and an A- from Entertainment Weekly, which is the first to have Miley Cyrus guest star?
The second one.
I'm going to go with the second one.
A.
Don't understand.
I don't even really remember the question, so I'm just going with the question.
I don't think it's really...
I think because L.A. is closer to Malibu where she lives.
Exactly.
Season 1 through 3 mm-hmm. of Hannah Montana.
She lives in Nashville. She's a country star, you know.
No.
Roots in the homeland.
That's the
move.
That's the movie.
Then she didn't live there anymore.
Haven't you heard Party in the USA?
I like this one. From Becca's Mommy. This is all, given that we're all on the LPP and to some extent work for Laughing Place, we all work in the realm of Disney, at least to some extent.
Yes.
What would you do for work if you weren't doing something related to Disney?
I'd probably stick with design. I'd find some other loopy theme park to work on.
I'd probably be doing the same thing, but
for Star Trek,
SeaWorld. I would be one of those SeaWorld geeks who like can go and know all the orca by name.
That's awesome.
Orca,
they're all Shamu. That's pretty.
No,
easy.
No. They have native names, so they all have Alaskan names of some sort.
Wasilla.
Yeah, exactly.
Sarah.
Piper.
Piper.
Yes.
Tree.
Gracie.
Because those are all also.
Star Trek IV reference, nice.
I'm going with, Computer.
That was a shout out to the Diz Kid, and he knows why.
My ultimate dream, honestly, when I'm done with all this Disney junk.
This is so scary.
I want to own a restaurant.
I'm so afraid.
That'd be awesome.
I want to eat at your restaurant.
Yeah. I will be.
Are you almost there?
Almost there.
Oh, we'll have to get you a stage show.
I'd be a CPA.
Shocking.
I'd be an animator for another company, apparently, because Disney doesn't want me in this question.
Oh,
no, touché. How sad.
From Troop. Which goes T Troop, which goes well with what I just said.
End of the Civil War was near.
Not F Troop. If you created a restaurant, what type of food would be served and what Disney park would be featured?
Okay, you Disney, you want the restaurant? You thought
Disney
about this
park
for a while.
Would be featured and what kind of food?
I don't know, what kind of food and in what Disney theme park would it be?
What Disney park? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Would it be or
oh
would it feature?
Oh my goodness! I do a gourmet.
Would it, where would it be?
Okay. A gourmet seafood restaurant at Disney's California Adventure. You know, down under the Cove Bar. I know it would be an incredible success. I would no, never mind. I wouldn't open a restaurant in a Disney theme park on a dime because they wouldn't let you.
Next, Epcot does.
Mine would be train-themed.
Train-themed?
And it would be at the Magic Kingdom. Maybe build up one of the train stations a little bit, oversee the tracks.
Ooh, that's a nice idea.
Michael Berge as a maitre d'.
Because he could, like, entertain you with train stories.
Yeah.
Like, go around.
He'd be like the guy, like, top of the morning to you guy. Just walk around.
That'd be awesome.
It would have to be, like, a Tortuga Pirate Bar.
Oh, there we go.
In Adventureland. You get, you
if only
know.
There was a place for a restaurant in Adventureland at the Magic Kingdom.
Exactly.
I think I would build a Animal Kingdom kind of in the back of Kilimanjaro Safari so you couldn't see it too much from the park, but somehow it could theme, maybe put trees around it, like one of those ugly cell phone towers.
Or like the Indiana Jones show building.
Yeah, and it would be, but it would be like a top of the world restaurant where it's like 60, 100, I don't know, whatever feet up, even though I'm afraid of heights. All vegetarian, because I am, since my restaurant. And it would,
it's
and
not
it would,
okay to look at animals.
And it would rotate, and you would watch the animals from nice. Way up high, because I like second story views, and this is even better, because that's like a 10 story view.
Sweet.
Yeah. Maybe a dessert buffet.
Sweet. Ah.
Totally.
Right. I kind of wish there was a supper club on top of the Hollywood Tower Hotel.
Supper club.
Right.
I just think it would be cool. I didn't get to answer.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you did.
The no. Tip Top Club.
Yeah, right. I just think it would be neat if instead of it being part of the story, it was actually. There's actually yeah. a restaurant. So some people could go up there and enjoy the view over the theme park and whatnot and periodically have their meal, you know, interrupted by, you know, because that's so much better
that
than
would
Remy.
Be awesome.
And Steve Gutenberg could be the maitre d'.
Oh, man. I had almost.
Like read from the Bible.
I had almost forgotten about that movie.
If you could cut it. Great. You could have. Actually, I'd like it to be. I'd like it to also offer some set pieces from Rocketeer.
Because
I loved that location where the lady was dancing in the white dress and the band
maybe
was
maybe Michael
and
Crawford.
And not Michael, that's Condor, baby.
You want to see, a beautiful, like, streamlined deco
exactly.
supper club.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a nice late 30s design because it's set in Halloween of 1939. In fact, the restaurant could always be decorated for Halloween mm-hmm. in the 30s, which would also be kind of an added.
It's a hair restaurant.
But no, he's taking the vision and he's
her
signing.
Her answer sparks the creative.
See?
Unlike the rest of your answers. No, your answer was someone else.
Yeah, you can keep on going with mine.
And Pirate Tavern. Truth to be known, I liked all of these most of these answers. I like them all because I think that they were really good ideas. I feel a little embarrassed that I just gave a joke answer.
As you should. Last question. Last question, so take your time with this one if you need to.
Yeah, that was 45 seconds.
This is from Disney Dad.
Disney
who I do
Dad.
Don't think
Elias.
It's the, I don't believe this is the parent of Disney's kid, strangely enough.
No.
This is Elias.
If you could time travel, what decade of Disneyland history would you like to visit?
Disneyland.
And by decade, I'm going to say like 50s, 60s, as opposed to like 47 to 56 kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, 47 would be a wonderful time to visit Disneyland. Could bring home a bag of oranges.
Sorry, that was a Spico.
That's tragic because I was actually going to give you an exact 10-year time.
It would have to be Disneyland in the 60s.
The era of
Pirates of the Caribbean opening.
Haunted Mansion.
Well, that would be a
Midget Autopia.
Yeah. Haunted Mansion, not quite. But
Matterhorn would open then too. Right?
Matterhorn.
Nope.
59. Oh,
but Matterhorn would be open.
Well, no. I would have to say Disneyland in the 60s too because. You get pretty much the tail end of the classic Disneyland in the early 60s.
Mm-hmm.
You get the Tencennial in 65, which was when Walt's final year that he
mm-hmm.
really loved the park and was plussing the park. You get New Tomorrowland in 67. And then, of course, you get the added fill-up of both Mansion and Pirates opening up. So in the 60s. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's before they really started, frankly, messing the park up.
I'm going to go with the 30s. I think there's some really cool things happening.
Ron Dominguez.
No, 2030.
The other 30s.
And yeah, because it's right before the 95 years for intellectual property. So, and as all of you know, it's impossible to to travel back in time, so you have to travel forward in time.
So you're going to stay there?
Yeah, you can't go back, yeah. I'm going to go up in space really, really, really fast.
I'm going to miss you, but not that much.
You'll still be here. I'm going to freeze you.
And
put you underneath the Roy statue.
Because and they'll still be fixing DCA at that time, I assume.
just as soon as this rain stops, just wait.
Okay.
Ironically.
Rebecca?
I'm have a hard time because I like everybody's talking about the 60s or whatever, but I really, and I don't know enough to know if it would appeal to me as much as the 90s did with its live entertainment. I really miss that. I really miss spending the entire day at the theme park and not going on a single attraction, but yet having an incredibly full day of really quality entertainment. Pocahontas,
Lion King,
Fantasmic, Festival of Fools,
Billy's.
Then the Billy's, the Bachelors,
Fantasy Waters.
But back then, fireworks were just fireworks. It was before we knew they could be more.
Before we knew.
It was before we knew they could be more. You know?
BFB, before Steve Davis.
Oddly enough, I almost went to the 80s because that was when you started to usher in that new era of great
Afternoon Avenue
event things.
Exactly.
And then, of course, you still had them, but you're right. They held those over into the 90s, and then you got the culmination.
Yeah, but it's hard because they had a lot of that kind of feel in the 60s, too, because you saw it with the... That's why they had the stages, because, you know, you'd have the bands coming to Tomorrowland. You'd have the bands coming to Carnation Gardens and that type of thing. And so there would have been that energy. So it's hard to say which I'd prefer more. But people had to dress up back then, and I really don't like dressing up to go to the theme park. So for my sheer comfort level, I'm going to go with... Can't imagine going to the park in high heels or feeling awkward
especially
because
opening
I didn't
day.
Go to the park in high heels.
Well, I'm going to take the question as it reads. Time travel, which means I can come back, I would hope, and which means I have present knowledge. I would love to go back to the 50s and just see knowing what I know today and to be able to see what the park was back in that first 5 years.
Would you want to go before it's even
amazing.
Done?
Can I make a tip? Go to the bathroom before you time travel.
No, get some water.
Get some water. Remember to bring a water bottle. Bring a water bottle. Would you want to go back
and
far
bring a,
back
bring a
as...
microphone for a... He's looking for a microphone. He looks all confused.
Before it opened? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
No. No, I would like to go starting opening day July 18th and just see what... not the press opening.
Not Black Sunday.
I would love to just watch people... And what? Look at the park. I mean, it's a mess back then, and all that. And
weeds
but knowing over there it's going to be the Matterhorn, and Space Mountain will be over there, and this place is just
going to McDonald's arches will be right there.
This place, along with the movies, are just going to launch the most amazing, probably the brand of the entire world. And that'd be quite a thing to go experience.
And while you're there, would you take one photograph and bring it back for us? The sign on Harbor Boulevard. To this day, no one knows exactly what they know. There was a sign out on Harbor Boulevard for the first couple of years, but apparently nobody ever photographed.
Welcome to Knott's.
Did they go to the Google Earth Archives and check it out?
They have tried everything. there are actually aerial photos of the whole park, and all you can sort of see is that there's some kind of a sign there that's casting a shadow, but.
Oh, that's discouraging. But if CSI, they could just push a button.
And then suddenly with crystal clarity, it appears. Now, turn it sideways so we can read the text. There it is. This is a badly grainy black and white photo. So what are the color values of those shades of gray? Bing, bing, bing. Oh, there it is. It's in full color.
One pixel can be anything.
They do partner with
Ted
Brookheimer.
Turner did that.
Can't you make that happen?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks for those triple R questions for the week. That was fun. Please keep posting on the discussion boards next week, either fanboys.
And just like the real Rocket Rods, we kind of like slow down a bit.
Speed up
and slow down.
Don't forget the blinking red light. If I'm not mistaken, the walls around us are cracking and falling apart.
Hey, do we still have our email song? It's been a long time.
It's been a long time, and you're not getting it today.
Email.
Last week, we had predictions from John Kay, and I asked John Kay
Junk.
To Junk.
That's what I said. What do you think I said?
Junk.
No, I said junk.
Look at all that junk inside your trunk inside the trunk inside the... Okay, so I asked him to share with us kind of a little bit more of the thought process behind the predictions, because I wanted to know how many of the bold predictions, which, by the way, is
bold.
Wow.
Thank you. You didn't need to uppercase it as well, by the way. Bold in bold is bold.
No, uppercase is acceptable, though.
That's like what you did before you had bold.
But so now we know.
Wait, so that means he was yelling it out, I guess. It was bold. It's because lowercase is not shouting, but uppercase is shouting.
So he's going to follow up on his take to D23 and then help us understand which of the bold predictions were wishful thinking. And one of the things that I thought was interesting about his...
I think all of ours were wishful thinking.
His email was that he wanted to share what he enjoyed about D23 events. And I have to completely agree with him with his opening remarks, and that is that one thing that makes it special are the people running the show. That the D23 staff is friendly and courteous, and you can tell that they have a true admiration for what they do. They enjoy taking the time to chat with members attending the event, and they often solicit feedback to see what the organization can do better and see what other offerings people want for the club. Secondly, they're run by Disney, by people who understand that the Disney fan is one of the hardest people to impress. And yet they try and bring out little, and then he goes on to talk about the various little things that they do in an event to try and plus it throughout the evening. Just when you maybe think, okay, well, that's it. Suddenly there's like this other little, you know, magical thing. And it may not be anything, you know, huge, but like at the Magic and Merriment event, there was a Mickey hat Santa hat giveaway, a surprise meet and greet with Santa Stitch. And then later, Santa Mickey came. So, you know, things like that.
Oh, lots of Santas.
So while the events are pricey,
Santa Monica.
In some ways, it's hard to say. In some ways, it's hard to just say, you know, that it's
Santa Hamanta.
It's they're pricey events, but they offer you something that isn't truly tangible, and that is the opportunity to bond with other Disney fans, and share Disney moments and memories and make new friends. And so, like he says, while they were pricey, I will say I'd never walked out of one thinking I was ripped off. And I hear that from a number of people.
I like his first point there, which is worth making again. One of the nice things about D23 is they got the right people, at least in terms of the face they put forward, to run it. These are clearly Disney fans. They don't come across as, you know, corporate whatever, trying to act like Disney fans or whatever. I mean, they got the right people in that respect. Mm-hmm. That's worth applauding.
Yay! And
Parka.
Perhaps...
Yeah, Parka.
And depending on what coast party he attends, he's hoping to make it into one of the anniversary parties if it doesn't fill up before he's able to register. And perhaps we'll see ya. Who knows? But on to the predictions that he made. He talked about the High School Musical relaunch and said that while he has no emotional stake in the franchise, he's seen the three movies and understands he's not the intended demographic, didn't really care for the new class that was introduced in High School Musical 3.
Don't worry, they all got fired.
Says that he found High School Musical 2 the most watchable, and that Disney will want to see this franchise kept alive, so...
I suppose that franchise they want dead.
G-Force.
Yeah. So, in order to keep it alive, that's why he was predicting the... I believe he predicted the High School Musical reunion. High School Musical, the reunion.
No, reunion.
They're old enough.
No, it would be really hard. Oh, totally. Oh, definitely. But I could see where
talent involved? Kenny Ortega.
I'm saying talent in the sense of the person in front of the camera is the talent.
There you go.
And some of the talent that was involved in High School Musical. High School Musical was a franchise that launched a lot of really important careers, no matter how you may feel about the individuals, how you may feel about the property itself. The fact of the matter is, you know, Zac Efron, it would be very difficult to get him to come back and do the High School Musical reunion.
I said that last week. I said by this time next year, he's going to be a solid B-plus list star.
Well, it could happen.
Vanessa Hudgens' modeling career.
But I mean, you know, Ashley Tisdale... is, although she may not
followed
be
on Twitter by Bill Gates.
Yeah, I saw that.
but the fact
she's the voice of Candace on Phineas and Ferb.
Unless they manage to, you know, unless all of them slip or they need something to jumpstart their career or something, and you manage to, you know, get all of the stars to align at one time,
or they pay enough money,
or pay enough money, which, you know, has been known.
Or
in the past.
They have dirt on them.
Well, it could also be part. It could also be goodie for something else. Like we have this super mega role over here, but can we?
Do you want to play Captain America?
Yeah, exactly. Well, then put on your new shoes.
Ashley Tisdale up for that?
And the reason why he scuttled Pirates 4, which, based upon the reports we're hearing, would be a mighty bold prediction.
Yeah. Locations, director chosen.
He pointed to the disappointing performance of the Pirates League at Magic Kingdom, the rumors of the rift in the company between, you know, the company and Johnny Depp with the departure
rumors.
Of Dick Cook.
The key word there is rumors.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I think it's a given that Pirates League is not performing correctly.
Yes.
That's not the rumor he said. He said the rift between Disney and Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp. Yeah, but Pirates League, you know, as much as you want, you know, pirate theme, it's still kind of a girly thing to do for boys anyway.
And his third prediction was that the Disney Store redo will not redo anything. It'll just fade away. The Disney stores will disappear. And I can see why when he points to the fact that, you know, Warner Brothers weren't able to make it work, Nickelodeon wasn't, you know, able to make it work, and that you get quicker returns by just licensing out products and trying to manage your own location and your own retail space. And with competition, as he points out, with competition like eBay, Walmart, online shopping, outlet malls, traditional upscale malls have been facing a lot of troubles that have been chronicled on the news for the past years. The Disney stores have had many lives, which is common in the retail industry, but I feel like its time has come, and I think the time will be coming soon to take it off life support.
It is the best 30 minutes your kid will have today.
That's their ad right now. If you go to DisneyStore.com.
Yeah, that's not their ad. That's their vision.
That's what it says at the top of their page right now.
For the website or the bricks and mortar?
The bricks and mortar.
Yeah, the best 30 minutes.
I'm going to say, that's just bizarre if it's on the website.
Ooh, if I buy $89, I get $5 shipping.
It's their tag now. It's the best 30 minutes your child will spend.
It wants to be destination retail, and that's the difference between, I think, the point where it was before, whereas I'm walking through the mall, I'm going to go to a Disney store, versus now it wants to be the place your kid wants to go when they can't go to a Disney theme park.
But
that's not going to happen.
When the Disney store is launched, where were you living?
Glendale.
Where were you living?
Oh, that's somewhere.
Where were you living?
Safe.
Where were you living?
Danville.
Danville.
Northern
California. Thank you. I'm saying that for the benefit of people in the podcast.
I was living
in central Oklahoma at the time.
And where the wind blows gently on the plain.
And here's the point.
Okay.
When they created the first Disney store in Oklahoma, they brought a parade to town, and they did a big event, and the opening of that store was an enormous event, and it was a destination. Because for a lot of us who love Disney, and for people who didn't realize they loved Disney, it was a place to go and get that Disney fix that people who live in Glendale and Central Florida couldn't get on a fairly regular basis.
Well, now wait.
The problem
was... Hold up. Before you go on.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it was where we got our Disney fix on a regular basis because the theme parks weren't an option economically. Well, keep going.
Right. But what happened... And for me, is the it's the same thing everybody talks about, I'm sure. The parks oversaturated. I mean the parks. The stores oversaturated. When they were a destination is when there was one Disney store in town or in a really large community, two. And I remember in Vancouver, Washington, I was in some outlet mall with someone, and there was this little Disney store with, like, posters bannered across the top. And I walked in and I thought, you know, this does not give me that same feeling.
And that's why they're closing some, like, 200 stores.
Well, and so I believe if they had...
Maybe they could have kept it up. But at this point, come on. This is not 1980 whatever. If you need your Disney fix, in 10 minutes, you can ride every ride at Walt Disney World on YouTube and buy whatever you want on all the Disney stores that are out there. I mean, I know there's something to be said for going there, but the need for a Disney fix, the need to get your Disney fix saturated now, or saturated, you know what I mean, taken care of now, is satiated. It's so much, there's so many more options than going to a store. They need to do something really special at that store to make it that much better than going on the Matterhorn anytime I want to.
But the two things that the stores had and could still have, and one of those was they had a really incredible cast when they first started opening those stores because you had a lot of people who were vying to work in that store as opposed to we have so many stores now that we'll just get, you know, somebody that can walk in off the street and get in the store. And the second thing they had was great, great exclusive merchandise that was not thrown everywhere in the world.
Well, and I don't know which way it's going to go because I haven't been in the store. But, you know, they're building this destination in New York City in Times Square that by definition will be a destination because it's in Times Square. And Disney Store right now has exclusive merchandise. Everything for sale at Disney Store is Disney Store exclusive minus media, obviously, or theme park.
Meaning not even DisneyStore.com?
No, I don't know, but I would imagine DisneyStore.com has some of the same stuff. But it's not just the Kmart garbage. And they're going to have interactive elements and they're having events. I don't know if it's enough to be successful, but they seem to at least be on the right track. The controversial piece about it is one thing the Disney stores had was art and collectibles and adult merchandise. And part of the reasons that the Disney stores start to suffer financially is people stop buying that stuff. And so they're not going to bring it back because it didn't sell. Yeah. So are they able to make enough of it as sort of a child's dream retail experience, like those American Girl stores are, or Build-A-Bear is, something like that? Are they able to transform it to something like that? It's not easy to do. It requires a lot of money, which they seem to be willing to spend. But will it be successful?
And can you avoid it being a princess store?
Right.
Can it be a place that the whole family wants to go, not just the family and the girls?
And not, you know, how do you, if you're going to spend $10 million to renovate a store and you walk in and it's all from this year's films. I mean, my Disney store that I would grow up in was dedicated to the Disney Afternoon to the day it closed, mm-hmm. despite the fact that Disney Afternoon being long gone.
Well, right now you walk into a Disney store and you don't see a lot of, at least the one I was just in one last week. In fact, I have something for you, fanboy. Don't let me forget.
Thanks.
But I didn't see like Phineas and Ferb merch. I didn't see anything about, you know, Starstruck's about to come out. So I didn't see like a T-shirt for the upcoming DCOM film.
That's what I would want.
Then. That kind of stuff. And I mean, and that's not.
They haven't jumped on the bandwagon.
Well, but that's not the Disney store has been. The Disney store has traditionally been what it is right now. I walk into the store, and there in the front of the store are the PVC lines for Sleeping Beauty, Snow White, Toy Story. Off to the right are the Cars toys. Off a little bit farther back are the Wall-E toys. Then you've got your whole Playhouse Disney section. Then you've got your wall of plush. You know, I mean, it's kind of always been that. But the reason that my family went to the Disney store, and when we went, it was a destination because it was the only one in the U.S. back then.
Glendale Gallery.
That was Mickey's Kitchen.
We never went there.
Mickey's Kitchen was Claremont.
Yeah.
And I did go there.
We never made it there. But the...
That was Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
The Disney store for us, the reason why we would go often was because that's where you would see the trailers, that's where you would see the tease, all the stuff that you now get on your Facebook account or your YouTube channel or the Disney Channel or Radio Disney. You know, would go to the Disney store for that. And so it's kind of
there
funny.
At least 40 minutes to watch the whole
disc. Exactly. You had to watch the entire disc. Totally. But now it's not that. And so I'm going to be very interested to see how they compel it, how they compel you to stay. And you have a very fine line to walk because if you appear to market to children, there is a bit of a backlash towards that, towards a gross commercialization of children. And so you have to be very careful about how you walk that. That's where the Build-A-Bear concept and whatnot, yes, it's to children, but they market it as an experience. Oh, let's build this bear, let's do that. So how is Disney going to kind of capture that same kind of thing without coming across as, you know, go reach into mom and dad's wallet and get money? You know what I'm saying?
I don't think they'll be able to do it.
It'll be interesting to see.
Love Penguin.
But the true value of the Disney store is because – is also in its sort of marketing efforts for the Walt Disney Company.
But do you truly have faith that they're going to stick to that? Because while that sounds great and is absolutely true, when same-store sales are down and they know you can put plush and princess in there to bring it up, how do you resist that temptation?
That's the hard part, and that's what I don't know. And, you know, you should have – there's some evergreen franchises of Disney. Princesses are evergreen. Cars is evergreen. It's not – you don't need to have – no Cinderella stuff there. That's not the point. But there needs to be something, you know, there is a value. While their internet is a resource to get trailers and things, there's something special about going someplace and experiencing something related
to. You've been to ours here.
Right.
They and you would, I think you would agree with me that it is not a magical Disney experience.
It's not. And so I mean, it's stupid to have it here, to be perfectly honest. You know, I understand at, you know, they want to build one at the Grove in LA. Good place for it. A destination mall.
Right, totally.
Times Square, good place for it. The Disney store 20 minutes away from Walt Disney World is a little silly.
Right.
But they,
Bippity Boppity Boutique and characters.
Right, but the thing that surprises me...
Here, wait, before you go on, fanboy, let me ask you one more question. You're more on top of Radio Disney here than I am. Does Radio Disney ever host events there? Because only time I see Radio Disney events, I always see them at IKEA.
No, and the way Radio Disney works is there's the national radio station, Radio Disney, and there's the local-owned Radio Disney affiliates.
Right.
The Radio Disney affiliate here is not owned by the Walt Disney Company.
Okay.
So there needs to be, and there isn't yet, more synergy between an affiliate and Disney World, I would think. However, there's also the piece of – I mean, you get more of it at Disneyland. When you exit the parking structure, there's a banner saying, listen to Radio Disney, because it's owned by Disney there.
Right.
And they do more events at the park than they do here. But, you know, you're talking about a radio station that was really an outgrowth of ABC, not Disney,
exactly,
in a time when there was more segmentation. So I hope that they would evolve that and have Radio Disney parks. I mean, they've started doing events there, like the Princess Tiana Masquerade Ball and the Sleepover Storytime.
And they're getting ready to do Royal Princess Lessons, where you go and you learn proper etiquette and curtsies.
That's all really cool. It's just trying to reconcile that with a store. If it were Club Disney, maybe I'd feel a little differently.
That's
but
what
in
I'm,
the end, this is a reason.
But in the end, though... Is Bob Iger, who's ultimately the person that needs to, approve of this, savvy enough to know it's okay, and it is okay. I mean, they've said this in the press releases. It's okay for them to go there and not buy anything, because at some point they will, and that's easy to say and hard to do. Yeah. I get on a balance sheet.
Right.
However, the Walt Disney Company seems to be more. Evolved in that thinking, you know, talking about movies that they're making, the note, okay, it's okay Princess and the Frog only covered their costs, because it's going to propagate throughout the Walt Disney Company.
I hope you're right. I don't have faith.
Can I just put a final note on this before we move on to the next thing? You can follow the Disney Store president on Twitter. He has his own Twitter account, Disney Store Prez, P-R-E-Z. And,
Prez, like Kilton?
No, P-R-E-Z, Prez, as in
short for
president.
They look a lot alike, though.
But the thing is that I have found reading his tweets recently interesting in that there's been discussion of there was an artist, I guess, he was getting ready to meet up with, and the artist was like, oh, well, I'm thinking about a Woody and Buzz on an adult sweatsuit, and he writes back, oh, that sounds great. I'm looking forward to talking to you. You know, so I'm not saying that means, yes, they're coming back with, a push for adult merchandise. But it was nice to see that at least when the topics brought up via the 140 characters, it was met with interest.
Right.
So I think you get a little bit of an insight into what the big guy is thinking. And if you're a Disney fan who that's your fix, you know, I think it's a really neat concept that he's out there in that way and you're going to get to know him.
And there's two other things that I think are. On that tweet, on his Twitter, when they announced the store's closing after Christmas, he said, you know, he tweeted before the press release came out, hey guys, with a heavy heart,
we're
closing these stores, but we have a great new future ahead of us, I'm sorry, but let's move on, which I thought was a touching moment. It's not just, you know, suddenly you show up and your Disney store's closed. Also, DisneyStore.com, I've got to give them a shout out. The dealings I've had with them lately, this customer service has been great. Before that, hang up. They always ask, is there anything else I can do to make your day magical? The product's been good quality. So if you do need Disney adult product outside of a Disney park, there is that opportunity there. And they seem to be doing well with it and trying to evolve, do things that might not warrant having a SKU out in a retail space. But because they can carry a bazillion SKUs, is good to sell just to a Disney fan.
Yeah.
Well,
and lastly from
thanks for listening to the Disney Store podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
And lastly from John Kay. John Kay said that the last bold prediction was that the Jungle Cruise would be filled in here and a new attraction would be built in its place. And
Fanboy
after
prediction.
Reading the reasons behind it in his mind,
That commercial?
It doesn't come across the board. No, actually, not the commercial. It's
okay.
Funny. Listen, Here we go. Walt Disney World's Jungle Cruise suffers from a lack of luxuries that its Disneyland counterpart has. One being its geography. Disneyland's Neighbor is one of the most popular attractions in the park, so of course it would get some overflow.
Tarzan Treehouse.
Oh, you guys. Not what he's referring to. While Disney World's is out of the way, with paths that are not too easy to find, plus it's surrounded by the magic carpets of Aladdin and Tiki Room under new management. A lot of people miss it while they are walking two pirates.
He neglected to mention the remote control boats.
Those are close to refurbishment due to the dark water system being drained.
Second.
Sadly, I'm not kidding.
And more importantly, is the large amount of international visitors Walt Disney World gets as opposed to Disneyland.
Okay.
Being an English language attraction, a lot of foreigners leave wondering what they just saw. Jungle Cruise at Walt Disney World also suffers because it is a very expensive attraction to operate. 10 boats on the river, 10 skippers, 2 loading boats, 2 unloading boats, a dispatcher, fast pass line, standby line, wheelchair assist, greeter, fast pass distribution.
What this guy does for a living.
And fast pass return.
And a whole can of whipped cream.
That
and
is a lot.
The guy who pushes the little button to make that spider jump.
That
too.
Is a lot of manpower through the course of one day. Not only does it fall under the assignment of operations, maintenance, engineering, and animal engineering, but horticulture and show design have to deal with this attraction on a daily basis too.
You know you can lead a...
Keeping the river clean and running right, including all the small waterfalls and animation, is one headache that I'm sure Disney would like to part with, especially for an attraction that is not really a gatebuster. But my biggest reason why I think the Jungle Cruise could see its day's numbers is, if you ask most people if they like the Jungle Cruise, besides a yes or no answer, the next popular response would be, it depends on if I get a good skipper or not. Walt Disney World works hard to ensure that all guests are offered the same show. So why would Disney keep an attraction running when a good portion of its riders feel they might not get a show because, in their opinion, they have a poor skipper? I don't feel the Florida resident promotion ads that are currently running with Jungle Cruise critters are any indication... He says animals. I like the word critters. Are any indication that Walt Disney World is embracing this attraction as an e-ticket. If you notice, it's Disneyland's boat and show scenes. And it is a recycled SoCal resident promo ad.
It's running right now.
All of these predictions and editorializing are hypotheses that I came up with myself. They are not from any insider, and I'm sure none of them will come true. I am just stating what I think should happen for the reasons stated above based on my own observations. Hope all is well, and see you at the next D23 event, keeping my fingers crossed that we all get tickets.
Thank you, Junk.
Now, see, don't you agree? Jungle Cruise, days are numbered.
I would say so, except why is it still here?
No. What are the numbers for?
Jungle Cruise at Magic Kingdom.
What kind of numbers does it get?
In regards to what?
Guest carried or guest satisfaction?
Just guests carried.
I have no idea.
You guys don't know? Let me just say, in terms of how many guests it carries, is it still popular?
Yeah. I mean, all I can judge by is the line.
It's got fast passes.
I think it has a fast pass inflated line, so it's hard to know.
I just find it hard to believe that they're going to remove an attraction that is both iconographic and still popular. Although I will just tell you, Jaws, between you and me, I don't like the Magic Kingdom Jungle Cruise. To me, it looks like a long, narrow concrete bathtub with plants growing along the edges.
What's wrong with that?
I feel it was a very poorly designed, poor cousin of the original, which is just
Hang on one second. But you have to. Disneyland has the advantage in that its plants have been growing a really long time.
They've been growing a really long time at both of them.
Not 50 years.
They can't let those plants grow over the concrete. And as far as the temple goes, I hate to be negative about theme parks.
Okay.
Yes.
The temple was. Remember when I first
for being negative.
When I first came to Disney World, my biggest disappointment was Figment.
Right.
My second biggest disappointment was Jungle Cruise, because I've seen the pictures, and I'm like, cool. Not only is the Jungle Cruise, they have this temple section where you, like, go inside. And then I wrote it, and they don't say anything in there. I'm really disappointed.
Also,
Skipper Dan did.
Skipper Dan's good.
The first time I went through the temple at Walt Disney World, I said to myself, I've been in here before. I've experienced this before, and then I realized what it was. There's a terrible, terrible knockoff Jungle Cruise at Astroworld. And you go through a temple.
Oh, how funny.
And in the temple, they have things like, you know, stuffed animals on strings that bounce up and down. And it looks really lame. And, well, you know, they put them in pots in this one. But, you know, it's a little stuffed monkeys and stuff that just, to me, it looks like a not as well-built attraction. Also, you know, everything in Central Florida grows like weeds. To say that, you know, Disneyland also, they had to cut back their jungle a few years ago tremendously.
Right.
It's just a matter of the way it's designed. And I know a lot of it has to do also with water management. Mm-hmm. Because in Florida, if you let the water wash up onto the sides the way it does in Anaheim, well, every afternoon at 4,
exactly,
the entire landscape would be completely drowned. Mm-hmm. So, and right, that's part of the reality of dealing with Central
mosquitoes.
Florida.
Mosquitoes.
Yes. Yes.
Unlike Central Florida. We got another one over there.
Email.
Hey, LPP.
Yeah, you know me.
Happy New Year.
Happy. You're late.
This is from Melanie,
happy,
right?
Happy,
Melanie.
Happy, happy, happy
New Year. We didn't get to
New
read it last
year,
week.
Or the
New
week before.
Year.
This has been bumped
happy,
so many
happy,
times.
Oh, you're so... Happy, happy New Year.
I'm sorry,
New
Melanie.
Year.
How long is this podcast?
During the
it's
Christmas...
really long.
During the Christmas New Year podcast hiatus, I listened to some of the older podcasts and learned something that has cemented the podcasters, at least in my way of thinking, as the coolest of the cool.
Oh, no.
You are They Might Be Giant fans.
I Woo-hoo! Hate them.
Yeah, it's Jimmy's issue.
I don't like them.
My husband and I are huge TMBG fans.
Fact, I like to beat up They Might Be Giant fans.
You're just evil.
And see them every time they're doing a non-kitty show locally. Also loved hearing Fanboys Fan Club up at WWU. It's like As the World Turns. I keep listening to see what happens next.
Keep waiting.
Okay, on to the business of the week.
Oh, Jenna.
I saw three movies while on my Christmas holiday from work.
Were they any that we saw?
The Descent, The Great,
Wait,
and The
Decent.
Awesome. Are you ready? No, it doesn't
Oh,
matter.
Not The Descent. I thought that was the name of
no,
the movie.
No. Just the adjective describing the...
Gotcha. You guys say the... What do you guys say? The big, the bad, and the ugly?
No, we say bad, okay, good, very good.
Okay. So The Descent was, it's complicated. Funny for what it was, but no one needs to see Alec Baldwin without a shirt on. Way too hairy. Possibly scarred me more than Beverly.
Oh.
Because remember, we convinced her to have the Beverly.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin, click.
The Great.
Unless it's preceded by Tom Clancy's.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Okay, The Great.
After reading Rhett Wickham's article this weekend, I took his advice to heart and went to see The Princess and the Frog, and I'm glad I did.
Oh, I'm so glad.
It was really enjoyable. The songs had me tapping my toes. The story was well toed. Cute moment. Told
well toed. Oh.
Awesome.
She wrote that?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
Misspoke. Okay. Well cute toed. Moment in the theater. A three-year-old girl was sitting next to me with her mom. She asked her mom if she could stand up, and her mom helped her off the seat, and she started dancing. After that number, she got back in her chair and whispered to her mom, "I just had to dance to that song." It reminded me of when I used to bring my daughter, who is now 20, to the new Disney movie each year, and it made me a little weepy. Hey, so Jimmy, how many times did you get weepy at Finding Nemo today?
Oh, I was just writing that down as a note. Me and my son went to see Finding Nemo the Musical at Animal Kingdom for the second time, but the first... Shut up, Doug.
Can we just add that quick to the soundboard?
So but for the first time...
You said my name.
Stop it. But this first time he stayed awake for it. It got to the end. What part? It's the end where he goes, "You think you can do these things, but I know you can." I cried.
And the awesome Avatar in 3D IMAX.
Yeah.
Wow. Just wow. The story was enjoyable. The visuals were compelling. And even though the story was 2 hours and 40 minutes long, it did not feel like
it. It didn't feel like any more than like 160 minutes.
The story had me completely wrapped up. Although there were parts that were predictable, it was totally worth the hype and awesome movie all around. What do you guys think? Do you think they left it open for an Avatar? Avatar 2 Electric Boogaloo?
I don't think they lived it up for an Avatar 2, but
Avatar
there
2
is going to be an
Day,
Avatar
right?
2 anyway.
I just like the Electric Boogaloo.
And we know how much James Cameron does 2s better than 1s.
That's true.
Terminator 2.
That's true. Terminator 2.
Two.
That's,
why they call him,
that's why they call him one of the regular fellers.
It's all that Fiber One.
This part of the episode brought to you by Fiber One.
Fiber One.
And compost.
See, they'll appreciate that. That'll be in the older episodes,
no,
Fiber One.
So one more question before I go. For Christmas, I got a networked Blu-ray player and have been enjoying streaming Netflix and watching some DVDs I already own, but have yet to purchase a Blu-ray disc. If you could recommend one Disney movie to buy on Blu-ray and one non-Disney movie to buy on Blu-ray, what would they be and why?
I want to go first. For a non-Disney movie, I'm going to recommend the one that I have not completed watching yet, but it is awesome so far, Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I'm going to go with Lost Season 5 for Disney. And for non-Disney, Star Trek.
Okay, thank you.
For non-Disney, for Disney, I'm going to go with, only because I haven't watched Sleeping Beauty, I'm going to go with Cars. If Sleeping Beauty is as good as, done as well as Cars, I'd say Sleeping Beauty, but Cars is awesome, the way they
Cars
the
was
Blu-ray.
Amazing.
Yeah. I was going to say Cars also.
Yeah, go ahead.
And also Up Blu-rays.
I haven't seen...
I was disappointed in the Up Blu-ray.
Oh, really?
I just felt there wasn't enough bonus there. I mean,
they didn't
no
have
Frankie Jonas.
You know, I haven't had time. I haven't had time to go through all of them, so I couldn't say for sure.
That's so sad. Now, whenever I hear the word bonus, I think of Frankie Jonas.
Frankie Jonas.
Is this a gentleman or a lady writing in?
Melanie.
Well, then my non-Disney one I would recommend is Julie and Julia.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, you asked it. Why does it matter that she's a lady, considering you're a guy?
Well, no. And that's exactly it. While I enjoyed it very much, I would be hesitant to necessarily recommend it to a guy I didn't know.
So if it
Do you love all Meryl Streep movies?
I don't know all Meryl Streep movies, so I couldn't say.
My favorite Meryl Streep movie?
River Wild.
Exactly.
I'm just going to say get Ponyo on Blu-ray when it comes out.
Ponyo.
Oh, just so I can plug Ponyo again.
But, Doug, if it were a male, what would you have said for non-Disney?
For non-Disney? there's a reason I was sitting back from the mic because I don't want to say. I'm just trying to run through what we have bought in Blu-ray that is not Disney. And I suppose I would also say Star Trek.
It's a good one.
It raises you in my love. I mean, not that I don't have you in high esteem already, but
because Dark
Knight
is good.
Well, I just think that William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy are such great. You guys are talking about the new one.
Exactly.
Dark Knight's good, but it doesn't have the commentary. Star Trek is awesome.
It has your own commentary.
And commentary.
I liked
Diary of a Red Shirt.
I liked what we saw of the Sleeping Beauty Blu-ray. It had a lot of. I liked Andreas Deja, but see, I'm an Andreas Deja fan. Anytime he talks about animation, I just am.
Andreas Deja Istis.
What about the Sleeping Beauty Pink Ray? How's that?
there's also on the Sleeping Beauty Blu-ray, and I just think this is so odd. You know, there's the recreation of the castle walkthrough. Did you ever go to the experience, the room downstairs at Sleeping Beauty Castle in Disneyland?
Yes.
That's exactly what they run.
Yes.
It's not the walkthrough that people are walking through upstairs. It's the recreation of the original walkthrough from the Blu-ray.
Only the best at Disney.
That's right.
They took out retails.
But I haven't seen the Snow White Blu-ray, or the Up Blu-ray.
Did Snow White come out on Blu-ray?
Or Wally.
Oh, I bought it. I just didn't watch it.
Wally bring it and over. All those.
And how about the G-Force Blu-ray?
Moving on. I own that. If I say jump,
Lost Season
you
5,
say how high.
While the Lost University is cool,
I keep hearing that every day.
It's very light on commentary.
Yeah, I didn't even watch it. I just watched Lost University was fun.
It's not working. We can't get Lost University to work. It keeps freezing on us.
Anyway,
so
I graduated last week. I was very proud of myself.
Yes, in the top 100% of your class.
Yep.
Let's see. You can reach us at podcast@laughingplace.com. You can call us at 866-718-9408. That's toll-free on your cell phones. You can post a message in the podcast section of the discussion boards. I'd like to remind you to patronize MasterVacations.com for any Disney trip anywhere in the world, including on the water or in an adventure. And also HojoAnaheim.com, where all the Disney fans stay when visiting the Anaheim Resort, especially the Disneyland portion. But before we close tonight...
Wait, and don't forget to submit questions for the Rocket Round.
Yes, don't forget the Triple R.
Yippee.
We've got a topic on the discussion boards already, or you can just start a new one if you want, or if you prefer to call it in. We love calls, but... Probably this is better written. So email or post on the boards. And now, before we close, we'd like to ask our geniuses sitting here at the podcast table and fanboy to give any final words of wisdom or otherwise.
We had two highlights last week.
Yeah.
We saw P.T. Barnum's Funundrum.
Barnum's Funundrum was the circus we went to. It was four boys.
Four boys.
Me, fanboy,
five
Captain
boys.
John.
Oh, I thought you were saying the circus was four boys. I was say, boy, that's a bargain for them to run.
It was Boys Night Out. Captain John, fanboy, myself, and another friend, along with Gideon, his first circus experience.
Aww.
It was an awesome experience. Gideon was mesmerized.
Aww. Yes.
He just sat there, the perfect angel, the whole time. Aww. Did not even fall asleep. Shut up, Doug. Mute. But enough about Gideon. Funundrum. How awesome was Funundrum?
It was the best circus yet.
It was.
But it's the same way we missed the pre-show thing, though.
That's why it was so good.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Best line? Guitar Hero.
Guitar Hero. Yeah.
They had a clown car. Like, had some throwback stuff, like the Strongman, and and they had a clown car. Except instead of just a bunch of clowns coming out, each clown was themed, including Guitar Hero.
And Ironing Man.
If you said the theme, they're all might superheroes. Have said that. They're all themed as superheroes.
Yeah.
Oh, touche.
Yeah.
Iron Man.
Cool. Yeah. So what was the other thing other than circus?
Bump, bump.
Oh, 2-4 has returned, and we've seen three of the first 4 hours because of stupid DVR.
And I don't even watch the show, so I feel left out still.
It's off to a really, really good start. I mean, it ended bad. Last year was clearly 23.
Yeah.
It ended really bad last year. It's off to a fabulous start.
I'm glad
start.
That last year they ended on a cliffhanger, so that this year they could just have a throwaway line.
You know, it's that 24, it like...
Jump the shark?
No, it's just, it's so disappointing that I know that, okay, night is going to come, and then I'm going to have like 12 straight weeks where it's dark, and I get tired of shows in the dark all the time. I like the daytime sometimes. Yeah.
They need to like have him fly to China or something, just so it
but
gets...
that would take like 3 episodes. Yeah, that's on the Concorde, which doesn't fly anymore.
I wouldn't take 3, well, yeah, that would be...
Yeah, when Jack
Bauer really
said he was
going
to be going to Los Angeles, I was like, oh, there we go.
Anybody else? Rebecca? No trivia today?
Just a real quick note. One Disney and one non-Disney note. If you're planning to go to a theme park and it's raining, go anyway. All of the great attractions are indoors. A lot of people stay away. Thank you. Happy. And so you'll have a great time. And then my non-Disney thought is I am actually enjoying the return of American Idol this season.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Song sensation. That is, that's right.
Pants on the ground.
In fact, I am that guy.
No.
Everybody's been wondering.
Yeah.
I just use a little makeup.
I've never been so proud to be out of touch is what I heard this was a
pants
sensation.
Pants on the ground, pants on the ground. Squirrels in my pants. Squirrels in my pants.
I think it's the same song.
Yeah. S-I-M-P, squirrels in my pants.
Yeah.
Simp.
Are
you guys ready for a teaser of the Laughing Place Trivia Contest?
Ooh, a teaser.
Yes, Rebecca's annual weekly segment.
Whatever happened to the Walt Disney quotes?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to that?
He's not making new ones.
I stopped doing that.
Read out.
I didn't read out. I just stopped. Maybe I'll bring them back eventually. So, what is... the name of the nightclub on the uppermost floor of the hotel. Hopefully you were paying attention earlier.
What's
hotel?
The theme here?
We actually
oh, the questions were all about Twilight Zone, Tower of Terror.
Hollywood Tower, and it was
the Tip Top Club.
I thought you were not supposed to
no,
say
no,
them.
No, we can say them. This is where everybody jumps
in. You're not supposed to say them.
Right. What's the Tip Top Club, which I mentioned earlier in the podcast.
Yes. Ta-da! And name the Twilight Zone episode from which Rod Serling's appearance in the pre-show video comes from.
This, as you can see, is a map of the United States.
Compass, I believe, is what it was called.
What was it? Do you know?
It was the one with Billy Mooney. Yeah,
it's a good life.
It's a good life. I'm going to wish you in the cornfield.
And do you know the clock in the lobby is stuck on what time?
I'm guessing noon, because that's the time Twilight Zone came on all the time on Channel 5 back home.
Syndicated reruns.
So far, everybody got the people who answered this quiz. These are all 100% correct answers.
Including
and,
this one?
Yes, but you can always go, you know, search. You don't have to answer them.
I have no clue on that one.
I don't know.
8:05.
Oh, that's when it was struck by lightning, I presume.
I'm presuming. Now, I'll ask you one of the more difficult questions.
Okay.
People.
What is the architectural style of the Hollywood Tower Hotel?
Which Gothic. One?
Gothic.
Disneyland Resort?
Yes.
Pueblo Deco.
Art Deco? Or
he is right.
Pueblo Deco.
I asked that because I had a feeling that
I
Doug
interviewed
might
Neil
know.
Engel, and I remember the interview very well.
And I suspect that the trivia contest is based in part on your interview.
It's like the circle of life there.
You know, now that you say it looks like a Pueblo Deco.
So good.
When you say that, I'll think of Tower.
It asks, how to serve man?
No.
No.
There's one more question I'm going to ask you before I'm done.
Let's
and
have it.
This one, only 20% of the people got correct.
Seriously?
20%.
20%?
Okay.
That's hard to believe.
Not when you hear the question. Name the actor who played the bellhop in the film featured in the attraction.
Nathan Lane.
But that would be easy to look up.
J.P. Minot.
Apparently
maybe,
not.
Maybe. Maybe not.
And it is now because it's on the answer sheet.
No. It would be easy to look up on IMDb, I would think.
I'm guessing
or
not.
On the video.
Because only 20% got it right.
No. Do you mean the bellhop in the film that plays in the attraction?
Yes.
Ah.
Which also could be on IMDb these days.
I don't know where you would find that particular cast list, actually.
Google. I think Google has
No, for the attraction.
I think Google.
Google has everything. It's not Bing.
What's the answer?
The answer is Parviz Perivesili.
The plane.
B-E-S-S-A-L-I.
No. We did not ask.
B-E-S-S-A-L-I. Apparently, you can find that information out on various websites, including, of all things, towerofterror.org.
No.
Why is that a .org?
Because .com was taken. Yes, it was taken by a Board of Universal Attraction.
TV.
Is that Doug? Did you have any final words? Did you say them already?
I said my final words.
Good. I'm glad.
Bye.
Are we
this
done?
This is a long
Go
show.
Go to bed.
Are we done? If
Go
you're still
bed,
with us,
kid.
That's a shame. We told you how to reach us. We told you who sponsored this. So we're done. And until next week,
it's a cookbook.